This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
Good morning. Call it something other than rape. The National Security Minister says calling marital rape rape would result in a low conviction rate. Two men killed in separate murders. And the government agrees to issue permits to treat stony coral tissue disease. It's all straight ahead this morning. I'm Dwight Strawn, and this is Morning Blend.
Wake up. It's a new day. Wake up. It's a new day. It's the start of the start of a new way. It's the start of the end of the old way. Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up.
Good morning again, Bahamas. It is Monday, March 7th, 2022. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Again, I'm Dwight Strawn. In a moment, Pamela Musgrove will be joining us. Also this morning, we'll be talking about the Boys Club of the Bahamas and some big plans they have for this year. And later in Morning Blend Business, we're talking with the organizers of that protest last week against the Port Authority of Grand Bahama. We'll find out what was behind that and what's the likely outcome. That's all straight ahead. But first, it's time for the overnight, the latest breaking news from while you were sleeping, and the top national and international headlines this morning. In the overnight, National Security Minister Wayne Monroe says that if the goal of criminalizing marital rape is to get convictions, then the government better, quote, call it something other than rape. Monroe, who was speaking on the issue at the meeting of the PLP's men branch, saying the question may also come up that the government should seek the will of the people on the issue. Monroe saying, quote, I can tell you in my judgment, if we decide that we want consent to sex given at marriage to be able to be withdrawn at any time and for any reason so that you can commit an offense of having intercourse with your spouse without their consent, if we want to succeed in getting convictions for it, we better call it something other than rape. When we engage this debate, it should be in this fashion. What behavior are we wanting to outlaw? Well, after we define what behavior we want to outlaw, we can write it down and you can come up with any name to call it. But if you call it rape in the modern day Bahamas, it'll have a very low conviction rate. Monroe sought to outline the legal arguments surrounding the highly controversial issue. He said if marital rape is introduced, then the divorce rate and the divorce laws would need to be adjusted. The divorce laws would need to be adjusted as well. The Freetown MP, who's Queen's Counsel, noted that the Bahamas has on multiple occasions committed to criminalizing marital rape. Two men killed in separate shooting incidents that left two other people seriously injured. Officers also reporting that a man was shot by an off-duty police officer on Saturday as well. Police say the first murder happened shortly after 2 a.m. The man was approached by two gunmen just as he arrived at his home on Mildred Avenue off Golden Isles Road. The gunman shot him multiple times before fleeing the area. The police say the victim was taken to the Carmichael Road Police Station by a neighbor Emergency medical services responded and pronounced the man dead. The second murder, a triple shooting, happened in Miller's Heights off Carmichael Road shortly before 8 p.m. Police raced to the area after residents reported gunfire. When officers got there, they met three people, shot two men shot in the head and a woman. The victims were taken to the hospital. Police saying that one of the men died in the hospital yesterday morning. And at last report, the surviving man was listed in critical condition. The woman was also said to be in stable condition. The shooters in both incidents remain at large. Then with that police-involved shooting, police say a man allegedly attacked an off-duty police officer with a knife as he was trying to arrest him. The officer was at a business on Blue Hill Road around 1 a.m. Saturday when he saw a man acting in a disorderly manner, we're told, toward an employee there. Police say the officer identified himself to the man and gave him a warning. The man then left the area but returned a short time later with and assaulted another man. The off-duty officer was alerted to the incident, and when he attempted to arrest the suspect, the man, quote, became violent and attacked him with a knife. The officer drew his weapon and shot the suspect in the upper body. That suspect was taken to the hospital where he is listed in a stable condition. And emphasizing the need for aggressive action to stop stony coral tissue loss disease, the Bahamas National Trust and its executive director, Eric Carey, is saying that the government has indicated that researchers will be issued permits to treat impacted reefs. Early in the week, the BNT and other environmentalists said efforts to stop the progression of the disease were being hampered by government bureaucracy. Overseas, Russia announcing yet another ceasefire and a handful of humanitarian corridors to allow civilians to flee Ukraine starting today, although the evacuation routes were mostly leading to Russia and its ally, Belarus, drawing withering criticism from Ukraine and others. It was not immediately clear if any evacuations were taking place, but Russian forces continued to pummel some Ukrainian cities with rockets even after the new announcement of corridors, and fierce fighting continued in some areas, indicating that there would be no wider cessation of hostilities. Efforts to set up safe passages for civilians to leave besieged areas over the weekend fell apart, but the Russian Defense Ministry announced a new push today, saying civilians would be allowed to leave the city, the capital of Kyiv, the southern port of Mariupol, and the cities of Kharkiv and Sumy. The two sides also plan to meet for talks again today, even though hopes were dim that they would yield any breakthroughs. Sports. It was a busy few days for several Bahamians as they wrapped up their conference postseasons over the weekend. And depending on how the selection goes this coming week, they'll discover if they're able to punch a ticket into their respective national championships. We're talking about college hoops here. The NCAA Division I action, Bahamian head coach at the University of Mississippi, Yolette Coach Yo McPhee-McEwen, and the Ole Miss Lady Rebels advancing to the semifinals in the Southeastern Conference tournament. They fell 61-51 to the nationally number one ranked team in the country, the University of South Carolina Gamecocks, though. You can read more in today's Guardian Sports section. The BFA, the Bahamas Football Association, naming Bruce Swan as its new technical director, the local governing body for the sport, making the announcement through a press release Friday. Swan, who hails from Grenada, will look to develop a program focused on ensuring that soccer in the country is growing and developing. And for Major League Baseball, the league reacting angrily to the latest offer by locked-out players when bargaining resumed over the weekend, accusing the union of backtracking and showing no sign of breakthrough to get the derailed season back on track. The squabbling sides talked for 95 minutes on the 95th day of the lockout, largely restating their positions to each other. Talks broke off Tuesday after 9 days of negotiations in Jupiter, Florida. And Commissioner Rob Manfred canceled the first 2 weeks of the season for each team, a total of 91 games. If Manfred cancels two additional series through April 13th and 14th, he would wipe out 93 more games and increase the total to 184. That would move to the verge of threatening players with the loss of service time and delayed free agency. This was the first meeting since Tuesday, and Manfred was in the MLB offices Sunday but did not attend the bargaining sessions aimed at starting the first season delayed by labor strife since 1995. The union followed the four-day recess by putting many of its proposals in writing. That's sports, and that's the overnight. Time for your first look at weather. Any weather for today? We've got a strong high-pressure system anchored just northeast of the area. That's going to weaken slightly while continuing to support brisk winds across the islands. Beachgoers should stay out of the water, actually, and small craft operators should remain in port due to rough surf and dangerous rip currents. And motorists and pedestrians along northern and eastern coastal roads, especially the Glass Window Bridge in Eleuthera, should exercise caution. Coastal flooding is also possible along eastern coastal communities, especially during high tide. For all areas today, we're looking at partly cloudy and windy conditions with a chance of a few brief passing showers, mostly fair and windy tonight. Small craft operators should remain in port again. Winds east to southeast at 15 to 25 knots in the northwest Bahamas, easterly at 20 to 25 knots in the central and southeastern Bahamas. Seas 5 to 8 feet in the northwestern islands, but 6 to 9 feet in the central and southeastern Bahamas. Seas up to 11 feet along Atlantic exposures. Temperature-wise today, we're looking at highs getting up to around 82 Fahrenheit, 28 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down about 66 Fahrenheit, 19 Celsius. Currently it's about 75 degrees under partly cloudy skies in Nassau. That's your first look at weather this morning. We'll have your extended outlook coming up after traffic in just a bit.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day.
You're listening to Morning Blend. When we come back, we're discussing the day's top stories right here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Your home for fresh news and smart talk all day.
It's the start of the end of the old way. Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day.
If you're looking to diversify your portfolio, chart a course for RF Mutual Funds, where you can get global returns through our suite of internationally invested funds. Get exposure in U.S., Asian, European, and emerging markets without central bank approval. And with financial services leader Morgan Stanley as the advisor of our international funds, you can benefit from RF's global connections. Set sail for international markets today by visiting rfgroup.com. RF. Money at work.
Drive happy with free fuel for a year with CIBC First Caribbean and Esso. Use your CIBC First Caribbean Visa debit or credit card to fuel up with $25 or over at any participating Esso service station, and you are automatically entered for a chance to win the grand prize and weekly prizes of $200 in fuel or cash. Offer runs until March 20th, 2022. Terms and conditions apply. Visit CIBCFCIB.com for more details. The Esso brand is a trademark of the ExxonMobil Corporation and is used under license.
Technology serves to make our lives better, so why not your business too? At Custom Computers, we've been maintaining our knowledge and relationships with top tech companies since 1987 and carry only the most trusted brands like Apple, Microsoft, HP, and more. No company has helped more businesses build reliable IT systems than Custom Computers. You name it, we've done it. Call 396-1101 to talk to any of our business experts. Find trust in your tech. Count on Custom Computers.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Wake up. It's a new day. Wake up. It's a new day. It's the start of the start of a new way. It's the start of the end of the old way. Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day.
Welcome back to Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We are streaming live on guardiantalkradio.com and on the Guardian Radio app for smart devices. We're also on your televisions on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 and BTC Flow Channel 612. You can tweet us at Morning Blend 969 or facebook.com/morningblend969. Text us 422-4796. Standard text rates apply. Once again, I'm Dwight Strawn. Joining me now, Pamela Musgrove.
Good morning, Dwight. Good morning, Bahamas.
Good morning, Pam. Great to have you with us.
Good to be here.
And we have a lot to get to this morning. We'll give you the phone numbers to call in just a bit. But coming up, we've got more weather and traffic. And in our 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking with the organizers of Boys Club of the Bahamas. They're going to tell us what they do, this nonprofit organization that offers a discipline mentoring program for at-risk youth. And what they're seeking to do this year. They have some big plans, and they're hoping the community will help them. That's coming up. Very timely topic today. Then later in the Morning Blend Business, they had a protest on Friday, a march, a demonstration to the Grand Bahama Port Authority. Residents of Grand Bahama with many issues with the GBPA. The organizers of that event are going to be joining us this morning, and you definitely don't want to miss that discussion coming up in Morning Blend Business. A lot to get to on this Monday morning. Let's begin with what's in the news. We're both. Are you in shock too? I mean, just the wow. Okay. Big headlines in the NASA Guardian. Call it something other than rape. That's Wayne Monroe, the National Security Minister, giving his advice. We're going to get to that in a bit. Although you're not exhausted, Pam. I'm exhausted talking about this. How many years?
You know,
have we been talking about marital rape, and you know, still not making any traction on this?
But I think the issue is we don't have these conversations.
No,
I don't think we have the right conversation. Like, we talk about things from where it is at that particular point, marital rape. Mm-hmm. And then you have this divide. There are persons who believe that, you know, it should be law, a separate bill should be for law. And then there are persons who believe that, how can you rape?
Mm. Okay, so if you call it something different from rape, is that's fine. That's going to be, everything's going to be good. That's all it takes.
But I think we should have a conversation on the marital bill, mm-hmm. or the act. right? Mm. The fact is, in this act, you cannot, a spouse cannot accuse.
But you know, every time
the other partner,
it comes up again. We do have that discussion. But
no,
you mean during the times when it's quiet?
Even now, the fact that it's in the it's law right now. We need to go back. Why is it there? Mm-hmm. What was the thinking of the persons who put it in there? And then try to draw the map to why we need to change it, if it needs to be changed today. Mm-hmm. But see, we are excluding that part of the conversation.
No, no, no. I don't think that's right, Pam. People are talking about it. People know exactly what's happening. Anyone who ignores that is intentionally doing it.
Me personally, I have not heard a conversation
really
as to that being in the law. Which section of the act
is it? I can't tell you.
Exactly.
But
you
know
why
that,
you can't say?
It doesn't matter.
No, it does matter.
I mean, we know that in according to the laws of the Bahamas today, a man cannot rape his wife.
Yeah, so a part of
unless
the conversation.
Unless they're separated.
Yes,
or filing
because
for divorce.
There are lots of persons who believe in that
mm-hmm.
because that's law. So to change their mind, let's go back to understand why was it there in the first place.
Because the Bible tells you so.
See, that's it.
That's the quick summary.
But that's why we don't get success when we try to make changes, when we have a referendum to try change what's in the Constitution. We don't have any success because we neglect to discuss why it was there in the first place, to try to get an understanding of why it was there, and then try to have the conversation to bring it to where it needs to be today and why it needs to be.
Yeah,
like that today.
All right, so we're going to get to some of the things that Wayne Monroe is saying in just a bit. Also, a pretty violent weekend. Two men killed in separate incidents. A number of people shot. And this violence, gun violence, continues to be a major problem here in the country. And then there's this very interesting story on the front page of the National Guardian as well. It's I don't even know what my reaction should be to it. But anyway, the headline is Russian envoy claims Russia ready for active cooperation with the Bahamas. This is a story from 2022. Yes, yes, it is. Trade between Russia and the Bahamas more than doubled last year when compared to the year before. Russian ambassador to Cuba, Andrei Guskov, adding that Russia is, quote, ready for active cooperation with the Bahamas in various fields, including humanitarian and political. He said the Russian Federation attaches great importance to the development of cooperation with the Caribbean countries, including the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And that, quote, this is in line with the goals of the long-term conception of Russia's foreign policy. Russia is ready for active cooperation with the Bahamas in various fields, political, trade, and economic investment, scientific, and technical. And humanitarian and educational. In the period from January to November 2021, the trade rate between our countries increased 2 to 3 times compared to the previous period in 2020 and reached $311 million U.S. Although nobody else is confirming that. But that's the story. Now, of course, this is all happening while Russia's invading another independent sovereign nation, and you can't ignore that. But Guskov claiming that Russian forces are not a threat to civilians in Ukraine, despite widely circulated images and footage showing civilians injured and killed by missiles and shelling. He said, quote, military strikes are delivered point-wise on the Ukrainian military infrastructure. Russian military personnel provide any necessary humanitarian assistance to the residents of Ukraine in the territories liberated from radicals. What's happening here? What? Why? Quote, acute problems persist only in cities where the Ukrainian authorities issued a criminal and irresponsible order to distribute weapons to anyone. I don't want to read anymore.
No, I don't think
no.
you should.
Okay,
you
know. So this is foolishness.
Propaganda.
And I don't know why this is in this newspaper today.
No, this I think it probably ties into Friday's report where the U.S. is saying that maybe the Bahamas can do more in as it relates to our financial services industry in imposing sanctions against Russia.
This is insane.
Yeah.
Problems persist where the Ukrainian authorities in their own country issued a criminal and irresponsible order to distribute weapons to anyone, including criminals who were released from prisons, especially for this purpose. to defend the nation from invaders.
Yeah, I mean, what's going on?
Hmm.
It's just totally wrong.
Okay, well, clearly those are the type of people we should be doing business with.
Yeah, I mean, and I find it interesting that they want to do cooperation with us on the political and humanitarian front.
Of all things.
Political of all things. Why would we want that political system, you know? I am really praying for Ukraine's success. Ukraine is a sovereign nation, and Russia has no business in there. And I think the world, while they're not going to do anything directly right now because nobody wants another world war,
yeah, well,
I think they are preparing behind the scenes, and we need to prepare because you cannot have a tyrant like that with all of that power, particularly nuclear power, and trying to make demands on a sovereign nation. And I think indirectly it's towards NATO and the West.
Yeah, absolutely. Unbelievable, but okay. Wow. So
I think we should be cutting off all ties, whatever ties that we have with Russia. We don't need to be friends.
Yeah, no, this cannot be seen as an endorsement.
In no way, form, or fashion. No.
No.
I don't care how desperate we may appear to be.
That type of talk.
Yeah, no.
Oh, man.
Cut off all ties.
Wow. Okay. All right. Let's get your reaction to that, and then we'll get back to the other stories in the news. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. Let's hear what you have to say about that. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
Yeah, like your mom and Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Tom. That the Marshall thing is a very serious situation. I think it was stemmed from what God has said about a husband and wife, bringing them together as a sacred unity. So it goes a little deeper. It is not a surface issue. And it touches on the marital law and the marital law and all that stuff with divorce. So it ain't as easy as you think. It goes deep. And it's not from the church. It's really from the word of God, when two persons become as one. So you have to have that. You have to look into that also. And then you have other laws that really deal with assault and rape as it is. So they'll have to determine how they're going to deal with this matter. I don't know if they're going to have much conviction in this matter. If they were to change it, I doubt it. Maybe very, very low. And on the matter of the Ukraine situation, this is the weakest I've ever seen a United States president. The reaction.
I know, right?
I mean, no, but wait, wait. What are you hoping? What would you have wanted to see?
See, my thing is, the United States, I think, in my opinion, should have supplied those aircrafts and arms right away. Biden seems to be, I don't know what world he's in. You listen to the state address. I don't know who he was talking to or where he was, but and you know, other countries take advantage when the United States have a weak president, you know.
That's not what's happening here. I don't think that's fair. He might be weak in some other ways, but everyone is trying to avoid, as Pam said, World War III. You have to be very careful.
Did you hear
what he said? Yeah. When Putin said, and the U.S. was encouraging us to ban our Russia from our airspace, right?
Mm-hmm. But
Putin says that any country that does that, he regards as a threat.
Yeah, but
so he's a madman.
Yeah, but
you have to be very careful.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what allowed this problem to get to where it is. They were placating Putin all along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you cannot negotiate with a terrorist.
Many presidents have been doing that.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
If you look at your history, Sir Vincent Churchill, the former British Prime Minister, could you check him out? You check and see what he would have done in this situation, despite the other countries didn't want to get involved. You know, okay?
No, what would he have done? Because they all allowed Hitler to just sit there for years before they did something, before World War II.
Yeah, but Britain was the one that really was fighting Hitler. And they're being
yeah, but that, again, yeah, there were many years, Britain, many, many years when they saw the growth of Hitler in Europe. So
yeah,
it only came after an invasion only after an invasion did the UK get involved there. So
yes, yeah,
but we have to avoid that.
Churchill was trying to get FDR's help, but FDR didn't want to. Just like right. with Biden, those they didn't want another world war,
right,
and so he
right.
kept putting off. And he said, "I'll send you some equipment," but he didn't want to. And then when the Japanese hit Pearl Harbor.
Oh, yeah.
That was a
very different situation.
FDR's invitation
very
to join the
situation.
War that I think he really wanted to.
And here, the loudest voice against it has been the U.S. So it's very different from what was happening then.
Yeah, but listen, I love how you guys went back in the history, because a lot of the Haymans may not understand that. And I'm glad that you're bringing that out to light this morning about the history of wars, especially the United States and Britain. Of course, the other allies came in afterwards. But yeah, man, we have to send a message to him. I say supply those soldiers with ammunition and aircraft, Poland and those, and let's try to deal with this gentleman. If you don't deal with him, then he's going to try hit another country.
Of course, you think that's where he wants to stop in Ukraine? Of course not. He wants to redraw the map.
Yeah, that's exactly territory, and retrieve as much land and countries and or settlements which he has lost in the past. Under other Kremlin leaders, you see. So we have sent a strong message to him, and it may have to be military. And I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready to go, Dwight. I have my boots ready.
So you just want the world to end. That's all.
Because that's all that's going to happen.
We
have to save the world one or the other. And I'm waiting for you to go with me with our boots, our Bahamians. And go and support.
No, that's absolute nonsense, actually. But World War III is not something anybody wants.
Nobody wants
any
it,
more
Dwight.
Active,
nobody
anything
wants
more
it.
Than the U.S. president does right now will cause
nobody,
a
nobody
nuclear
wants
war.
It. And we ought to pray for peace, but we ought to prepare for war. What if Putin wakes up one day and decides to bomb or send a bomb over to one of the NATO countries? Mm. What are you going to do then? That's war.
Just say farewell to everyone you know.
No, but that's war. So we are hoping and praying Putin wouldn't do something, which is what he's doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's inviting a war.
Yeah.
Why would you accumulate so much nuclear power if you don't want to use it?
If you have no intentions of using it. All those countries around the world, we need to ask them that. Many of them. Yeah. And they will not all be on the same side if anything were to pop off.
I don't think you could let this go uncontested.
Yeah. What does that mean?
No.
What does that mean?
Well, they are gradually, the sanctions that they are putting on Russia,
mm-hmm.
the likes of this have never been seen. So basically, yeah. We are in an economic war.
Yeah. Well,
right?
Well, they're still around talking foolishness.
Right? And the fact that the U.S. is discussing sending planes to Poland and using Poland's older planes in Ukraine, it shows that they are pushing it more and more as Putin pushes more and more.
It's scary. It's scary. Let's take these calls. Good morning, caller. You're on there.
Yes, good morning, Glenn.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah, this talk about avoiding a war that has already begun really makes me wonder. Avoiding
escalating it to the nuclear level, which many of us will not see next year if it gets to that point.
Okay, so you're saying once there's nuclear bombs dropping, then that's the beginning of war. We're not sure that's the end of it. Which one is it?
The beginning and the end.
Okay, so you understand World War III has begun. Right? Putin suffers from a diminished sense of danger. That means he doesn't have any fear of danger. He's been able to develop that because of the getting away with it. We don't want to go into the Swiss bank and all that stuff because that's another story. But I think what we have to be very, very, very careful of is the fact that right in our own country, we have wars. We have civil wars because... I don't know if you're familiar how the internet or how the telephone system works, but calls are terminated at the telco and then someone gets paid 18, everybody gets a little piece of it. But if you notice that the live system is, persons are stealing the packets, and that's war, that's civil war. And if they were to run a packet sniffer from Step Street from one end to the next, you'll see that they're not getting paid for all the usage. War has begun in all forms. We have civil war. People are stealing data right here. And we want, but Putin, we need to get our money. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay. Go ahead. Let's take this call. Good morning, call. You're on the air.
Good morning. Morning, Glenn. How are you?
Doing well. Good morning.
Wonderful. Great conversation. We are talking about a war. And the Bible speak much about the rumors of war. And and famine. What happens here is that we've been asking the question in the inner city about national service. Nothing has been said or given to us yet about that. But every weekend or every other day, somebody shoots somebody because they had a gun. Okay, but here it is. A few minutes ago, you told a gentleman that no, we don't want to go to no war. But there is a war here in our territory. Okay, it is domestic with the people that does stupid things. Okay, because that is stupid. Then why don't have national service and saying that they like guns? Send them.
Send them where?
Where you think?
I don't know. You're the one who said it.
Send them
where?
Something we should explore. Those who,
No. I want you to say it. Say it. Send them where?
I know you want me to say it.
Yeah. Because I don't know what you mean.
That they like guns.
Uh huh.
Okay. Defend your country. Okay. That's the right way to do it. Thanks for letting me share.
What? Okay. That explains everything, all right? So because we don't see them as being valued lives, sacrifice them in a war. That's why they are doing what they're doing.
I think the call is saying those that were found guilty of using the gun.
Well, then they just proved exactly what they always thought. Okay. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Gandhi Day, this is Clark in West along with you on Palm Dwight.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
So we need justice law in this country. The guys and gals in this country already cannot shoot, even though they kill people, right? So where are you going to send them? To get killed? Other thing is, right, people are tired of this bloodbath that are happening in the world today. So people doesn't really need war, right? I try to fix it in a diplomatic way, and I suppose that's what the United States are doing. See, because the United States have to look out for itself and look out for other people. So nobody wants any war. Only stupid people want war. Only stupid people want to bloody the whole world or bloody each other. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Wow. Let's read some of your messages before we take a break. Quite a bit here. Before we talk about Ukraine sovereignty, we need to learn the history of Ukraine. Do you guys have any idea what a nuclear war with Russia would look like? And we don't want to find out.
Yeah, nobody wants war, Dwight. But if you have a tyrant that is threatening you and a tyrant that is invading a sovereign nation with the risk. Because if one of those missiles miss and go into NATO, NATO policy is war with one, is war with all. Then you have a war on your doorstep. It's not that the West is wanting a war. Ukraine is not wanting a war. This is Putin's. This is in his mind. Mm-hmm. He wants a war. So what you going to do? Sit down, fold your arms and cower?
But what are you suggesting?
I think what they're doing now is good. The sanctions, and this is making Putin even more angry.
Mm.
More and more sanctions. The fact that the U.S. is discussing sending planes to Poland, and Poland passes its planes on to Ukraine. So more and more, he's getting upset, and nobody knows what he's going to do. He can decide tomorrow that he's going to bomb one of the NATO countries, and then we have war. Mm. So this is not up to the West. This is up a lot to Putin.
Okay. This text here. You've been sending this text around to a couple of the shows on the station, and I think you're not understanding the situation very clearly here. Anyway, they're saying that the Syria part is a little off. Anyway, the U.S. invaded Iraq, and no one said anything, and that's crazy. The U.S. has just as many nuclear arms as Russia. They didn't invade to take over. Anyway, you have to be careful how
it's
a very different situation.
Wrongs don't make
a
right.
And that's a good point too there, Pat.
Yeah.
It's a very different situation.
So the U.S.
invade
Iraq, according to this text. So that means everybody must sit down and watch what Russia is doing without retaliating. What if someone wants to seize us? What if someone looks at the Bahamas and say, "Well, y'all just came here on the slave ships.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all don't own this place and we want to attack you." What do you say?
This person says that you're praying for Ukraine's success. Do you know the corruption that exists in Ukraine?
Well, is it any more than the corruption that that exists in Russia?
Or the Bahamas?
Exactly.
Anyway.
Our former prime minister said we are very corrupt nation.
Do you deserve to get invaded by another country because of corruption?
Exactly.
Well, everybody come on down to the Bahamas. Okay. Anyway, they go on to say the vast amount of human trafficking is happening, I guess, in Ukraine.
What's going on in Russia?
Ask for Russia to fall, no one asks for Russia to fall. You ask for ours and many other countries to fall.
We are
second largest supplier of wheat fertilizer. No one's asking for that. We don't want a war.
Ukraine is also in the wheat business. No, we're not asking for Russia to fall. But we need Putin to stop. And if it means Russia has to fall, then so be it.
Simple as that.
Fall.
Well, why do you have to invade them to... Come on now. What do you
it's
all say?
It's greed. It's envy.
Doesn't one of the illegal gaming owners, who's illegal here, have a Russian partner? What? No one gets rich in Russia without Putin's blessing. Okay. Oh, dear Lord. Okay. Blessed morning, my Lord and Empress. That's you and me, I guess. Let us, as Negroes... be concerned with reparation and repatriation back to Mother Africa with clean hands and a pure heart.
Well, you go, Dexter.
A heart of love for
you
us first and then others, peace and love. I mean, I like the last part of it.
Yeah. But I like the reparations too.
I like that. The repatriation. Okay. Good morning. When it comes to raping your wife, we'll get to that in a second. This one says, Vladimir Putin has been trying to avoid war for years.
Oh, really?
But the West wouldn't listen to reason when he begged them to stop expanding east. Inviting Ukraine to join NATO was a red line that was crossed. Well, they want to.
They should have, because he didn't want them to join NATO because he wanted to control them. And when he felt that he lost that control, now he wants to invade.
Mm-hmm. This person says, what's criminal is that Ukraine has banned men 18 to 60 from leaving the country. That's basically sentencing those men to death. That sounds like tyranny to me.
That's not criminal. You fight for your country.
Have they banned them?
No, they asked 18 to 60.
Yeah.
They say to stay.
And many, including women, have taken up arms as well. So,
They said some of the persons who left Syria during the war and went to neighboring countries to escape the war went back to Syria because it was so hard and so difficult for them to live in those countries. Mm-hmm. They preferred to go back
under the harsh regime
because it was so bad. So you can imagine, I look at myself. Wow. Imagine one day I have to uproot and leave here with nowhere to go, a refuge in someone else's country where I probably wouldn't be treated as fair as I feel that I should be. I can't imagine that.
Okay. A couple more messages as we go to the break. This person says, Dwight, I know this will offend you because of political correctness. But I say, let the white man fight his own war. They never come to the black man's war. Look at the media reporting about their blue-eyed, blonde-haired comrades. Okay.
Well, they are fighting their own war.
Yes, well, the only issue, the only difference is these are crazy nuclear powers that they'll press a button and all of us will be incinerated. That's the challenge with this type of
thing. And to have an unhinged person like Putin exactly. having that power. Sit down and just be afraid of him.
Terrifying.
No, you gotta act.
What's happening here today? This person says, tell that that Negro that wants repatriation to the motherland that African airspace is wide open.
All those who wish to can go back.
Yeah, I think you get a couple flights you can get there right now. Oh boy. But reparations, yes. 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 That's how we could build a new hospital, maybe, Pam. Right? Maybe we should bring that up to the Duke and Duchess when they come in a few weeks. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Stay with us.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley. Day 12 of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Ukraine is accusing Russia of taking women and children hostage, though it isn't providing evidence. It says Russia is still rocketing and bombing cities, though Moscow announced another ceasefire, and humanitarian corridors to allow civilians to flee. Some of the evacuation routes, however, would move civilians toward Russia or its ally, Belarus, something Ukraine says is not acceptable. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma.
A Ukrainian official says Russian forces have intensified shelling of cities in Ukraine's center, north, and south, upending attempts to evacuate besieged civilians. With Ukrainian leader urging his people to fight in the streets, Russian President Vladimir Putin has shifted blame for the invasion, saying Moscow's attacks could be halted only if Kiev ceases hostilities.
A third round of talks between both sides is planned for today. The U.S. is nearing 1 million reported COVID deaths. Overall, COVID has now killed more than 6 million people around the world. But experts say we likely hit that number some time ago. The AP's Mike Hempen.
Poor record keeping and testing in many parts of the world has led to an undercount in coronavirus deaths. In addition to excess deaths related to the pandemic, but not from actual COVID-19 infections, such as people who died from preventable causes but could not receive treatment because hospitals were full. An analysis of excess deaths by a team at The Economist estimates that the number of COVID-19 deaths is between 14 million and 23.5 million.
The price of gas is a jaw-dropping $4.06 a gallon this morning, 45 cents more than a week ago. This is AP News. Host Dolly Parton is about the only traditional thing about tonight's Academy of Country Music Awards. The AP's Margie Zarletta with what's going to happen and what's not.
Chris Young leads the nominations for the Academy of Country Music Awards with 7, but what is significant about tonight's ceremony is that it is not on television. I've got some famous friends. The ACM Awards will be one of the first major award shows that will be carried exclusively by streaming. The ACMs will air on Amazon Prime Video as a commercial-free two-hour show. Rather than give out an award, then show a performance, then another award, the ceremony will group the awards in segments. One part of the show will be 35 minutes of performances straight through. Lead nominee Chris Young says it's the modern way.
You think about it, you're like, that's so different. But everybody streams everything, and everybody got so used to streaming everything over the past couple years. I don't think it's going to be strange at all.
I'm Archie Zarletta.
And I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
So if you're first, a good traffic for this morning, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. Just a reminder of the coastal conditions that are going to make it a little difficult for motorists and pedestrians today, especially along northern and eastern coastal roads, especially in Eleuthera if you're near the Glass Window Bridge. And there could be coastal flooding along eastern coastal communities during high tide today. So keep that in mind if you're driving along coastal roads today. Now, in your real-time traffic, we've got heavy traffic on Tawny Gleams Darling Highway, westbound mainly to the roundabout with Milo Butler Highway. And Milo Butler Highway, as usual, seeing heavy traffic from Fire Trail all the way up to the roundabout with Tawny Gleams Darling Highway in the northbound lanes. Glasson Road looking a little bit better for you, but there seems to be some issues there. Keep that in mind if you are heading, especially northbound on Glasson Road this morning. Elsewhere, we've got building traffic on Carmichael Road eastbound to Blue Hill Road, and Blue Hill Road seeing some issues, especially near the junction with St. Vincent Road and the junction with Carmichael Road and north of Soldier Road in the northbound lanes heading to the roundabout with Independence Drive. Independence Drive also backed up westbound mainly at this hour. Then there's Soldier Road having some issues at the intersection with East Street, and on the way to Windsor Place, heavy, heavy traffic there. The building traffic in Eastern New Providence with Eastern Road westbound and Prince Charles Drive westbound, and the intersection with Bernard Wolfe Soldier and Village, seeing some heavy traffic there this morning. Those are your hot spots for now. And building traffic westbound on Carmichael to Coral Harbor Road. That's your real-time traffic in your morning blend. Traffic alert brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Your morning. Wake up with our new hot honey chicken biscuit that is forged in flavor and made fresh every morning just for you. Forged from a fusion of sweet honey and spicy heat. Wendy's new hot honey chicken biscuit is our breaded premium all-white chicken breast topped with habanero honey served on a fresh baked buttermilk biscuit. It offers the perfect balance of sweet heat. Better mornings always start at Wendy's.
You're always on the go. We know life can be a daily rush. CIBC, First Caribbean, you can count on us. We make life easier. Manage your accounts at any time. Apply for a loan. It's easy when you bank online. We make life easier with choices that suit you. CIBC, First Caribbean.
Whenever you want, wherever you are, for all your banking needs, we make it easy. CIBC, First Caribbean, we've got all your banking solutions. CIBC, First Caribbean. CIBC, First Caribbean.
Earning zero interest on your savings at the bank? With as little as $100, you can start earning interest on your money while you're sleeping, eating, or standing in line at the bank with the CFAL Savings Express Plan. Ready to invest? Start by putting $1,000 into our mutual funds and earn interest there too. Because at CFAL, your interest is our interest. Visit CFAL.com to start now. CFAL. Growing wealth for future generations of Bahamians.
Technology serves to make our lives better, so why not your business too? At Custom Computers, we've been maintaining our knowledge and relationships with top tech companies since 1987 and carry only the most trusted brands like Apple, Microsoft, HP, and more. No company has helped more businesses build reliable IT systems than Custom Computers. You name it, we've done it. Call 396-1101 to talk to any of our business experts. Find trust in your tech. Count on Custom Computers.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Living in a haze, staying in the shade. All
are back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strong along with Pamela Musgrove on this Monday morning. Hey, I don't know what's happening on our text line. I got a lot of you who are very angry that the men of Ukraine have been asked to stay and fight. And some of you are very bitter that the women were allowed, if they chose to, which many didn't, chose to leave. You're like, you don't think that's okay.
If we had to go to war in the Bahamas.
But Pam, this is the same thing. We just got a call about it, right? Mm-hmm. Put all those guys who like guns so much in the national service and send them off to fight. So it's only certain people.
Send the women and the children and the men. Okay. I mean, I guess the question is, if we were under attack, how many of us would go?
Oh, Lord.
I probably would. Just being honest.
Don't say it out loud. But
go to safety. Live to fight another day.
Right. Oh, wow. Come back to help build the country after today. I see. Oh, dear. Well, anyway, and apparently we are wrong for praying for Ukraine to succeed.
Oh, I am all for that.
Oh, dear.
I think Putin is a tyrant, and I don't think he should be allowed to get away with this over the long term.
Okay. Hi. I'm going to leave that there. But we'll keep you posted on what I'm sure we're all following very closely what's going on. But let's get back to the other big story in the National Guardian today. Call it something other than rape. That's what Wayne Monroe is saying, the National Security Minister. He's speaking at the PLP Men's Branch meeting. I think this was yesterday. And he says if it's convictions that we want, and I'm not sure if that's what the goal is, but if it's convictions that we want, then you're going to have to call it something other than rape. Mm-hmm. Monroe saying, quote, "I can tell you, in my judgment, if we decide that we want consent to sex given at marriage to be able to be withdrawn at any time and for any reason so that you can commit an offense of having intercourse with your spouse without their consent, if we want to succeed in getting convictions for it, we better call it something other than rape." Okay, and that really simplifies what's happening there, right? No, but anyway, okay. But I'm just going to read what he says. He says, quote, "When we engage this debate, it should be in this fashion. What behavior are we wanting to outlaw? After we define what behavior we want to outlaw, we can write it down and you can come up with any name to call it. But if you call it rape in the modern day Bahamas, it will have a very low conviction rate. Then you would only be successful in your objective was to call it that as opposed to get people punished for it." Monroe sought to outline the legal arguments surrounding the highly controversial issue. He said if marital rape is introduced, then the divorce law would need to be adjusted as well. And many have been saying that for decades, that those laws need to be adjusted. Right?
I agree,
totally. You can't get divorced because you have irreconcilable differences. And so many people are in loveless, hate-filled marriages.
But that's why I'm saying you have to have the entire conversation and not zoom in on this one thing. It has to be a complete overhaul and have the conversation.
Well, people have been trying and many have been ignoring them.
No, okay. Have you ever attended a debate on this, for and against?
Yes. Yes, especially because this is since this show has been on, this is like the fourth wave, maybe fifth of right? It flares up like a bad rash every couple of years.
Yeah.
And so there have been so many papers and studies and, oh, good God.
I remember
and I think
doing
debates as well.
The gaming referendum. There were lots of debates. There were lots of on the television programs, churches sponsored some of those. On the radio, there were lots of debates, so persons can hear both sides of the argument. I'm not hearing that with this. I think it should be ongoing. It shouldn't be something every time the government changes, which we're doing every 5 years, and then it comes up.
Right.
And then the government of the day is afraid of public opinion because they feel that more persons are against it than for it.
Yeah.
And so it drags on, nothing happens, and then the next administration. I think we really have to have real conversation about it.
All right, let's take this call quickly, and then we'll get back after the news to what Wayne Monroe is saying, some very interesting points he's making. But let's take this call really quickly. Good morning, caller, you're on the air.
Yes, I just want to support Pam. She said she'll be the first volunteer. I'll be on the side of her, the second volunteer, okay?
What was she
representing our country and in its defense.
That is not what she said.
Yes, she did. No. She volunteered.
No, no.
She did not say that.
No, you didn't.
She said the complete opposite. The very opposite. I mean, so opposite. Oh boy! Good morning, caller. You're on
the
air.
I would support Band 18 to 60 State.
You're going
to
give money to the cause.
Whatever I can do,
but you won't
away
be there.
From the conflict
okay.
zone. Yeah.
All right. Caller, good morning. You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning. How are you all this morning?
Doing
good
well.
Pam, I think you are absolutely correct when you speak about Russia. I think Putin needs to be treated like Saddam, Gaddafi, and a few others. Okay. And Dwight, isn't America an Ares ally?
Yes, sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got to say something to you. I don't want you to get mad. Okay? This ain't personal. Be careful what you say on the radio pertaining to America and Russia at this time, because America is listening to it. If you love to travel to America, be careful what you say. Okay? Now, let's go back to the marital rape issue.
You got
that's
10 seconds.
That's not personal, Dwight. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm only trying to give you some heads up of what's going on. The marital rape issue. All right, so we're going to change... the law for marital rape. What happened to this year with the marital rape issue? Been going on almost 25 years.
Yeah.
And nothing has yet happened.
Yeah, we're going to pick it up on the other side of the news.
All right, no problem.
Okay. Stay with us, folks.
No problem.
Welcome back to Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We are streaming live on GuardianTalkRadio.com and on the Guardian Radio app for smart devices. We're also on your televisions on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 and BTC Flow Channel 612. You can tweet us at MorningBlend969 or Facebook.com/MorningBlend969. Text us 422-4796. And now at 8:21, time for another check of your weather for today, brought to you by Bahamas First Insurance. Here's what's happening. We've got a strong high-pressure system anchored just northeast of the area. That's going to weaken slightly while continuing to support brisk winds across the country today. Beachgoers should actually stay out of the water today, and small craft operators should remain in port due to rough surf and dangerous rip currents. And motorists and pedestrians along northern and eastern coastal roads, especially the Glass Window Bridge in Eleuthera, should exercise extreme caution. Coastal flooding is also possible along eastern coastal communities, especially during high tide today, so keep that in mind. For all areas, your forecast calls for partly cloudy and windy conditions with the chance of a few brief passing showers, turning mostly fair and windy tonight. Small craft operators should remain in port. Temperatures today getting up to around 82 Fahrenheit, 28 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down about 66 Fahrenheit, 19 Celsius. In your extended outlook, high pressure will shift eastwards, allowing winds to diminish a bit to to a more moderate to fresh level across the islands throughout the remainder of the week. So for tomorrow, Tuesday, look for partly cloudy, breezy, and warm conditions with a chance of a few passing showers. Wednesday, partly to mostly sunny, breezy, and warm with a slight chance of a few passing showers. Smallcraft caution will remain in effect for both days. That's your morning blend weather check brought to you by Bahamas First Insurance. What's first for you comes first for us. Second look at traffic for this morning brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. Just a reminder about motorists along coastal roads, motorists and pedestrians along coastal roads, to be careful of northern and eastern coastal roads especially. There could be coastal flooding during high tide. And be extremely careful if you are on the Glass Window Bridge in Luthra today. And letting you know about a virtual public meeting about Village Road, the Village Road Improvement Project. That's going to be for tomorrow from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Ministry of Works is going to be letting people know about the improvement to Village Road between St. Andrews and Montague Beach. Again, that's tomorrow. In your real-time traffic for today, we are seeing heavy traffic in the usual hot spots. So that's Mile Butler Highway from Fire Trail, even south of Fire Trail, all the way up to the Tonic Williams Darling Highway roundabout. Traffic is backed up southbound on that roundabout as well. And that's coming off the six-legged roundabout. If you're heading southbound there, you'll see that a long line of traffic there. That's unusual for this hour, but that's what you're dealing with. And then further up at the six-legged roundabout, multiple directions, issues there so far this morning. Gladstone Road also busy for you, northbound Fire Trail. Again, I think there's something going on there, and so you might want to keep that in mind. If you're on Gladstone Road, you might want to avoid that. There's definitely something backing up the traffic northbound on Gladstone, well south of Fire Trail this morning. Avoid Gladstone Road. Yes. And then westbound on Carmichael, serious traffic there heading to Coral Harbor Road. Eastbound also Carmichael to Blue Hill Road, which is backed up from well south of St. Vincent all the way up to the roundabout with Independence Drive this morning, especially north of Soldier Road. And then Independence Drive, both directions, heavy traffic between the roundabouts there. Avoid Independence Drive this morning as well if you can. Elsewhere, we've got West Bay Street near Saunders Beach and the roundabout with New Providence Highway, mainly eastbound. And then in eastern New Providence, Bernard Road westbound to the very challenging intersection with Bernard Wolf, Soldier, and Village, especially Soldier Road from the intersection with Robinson Road and Prince Charles Drive all the way up to just north of Village Road this morning. And then Eastern Road westbound from east of San Suzy to Johnson Road. Those are your hot spots. Very hot this morning. Good luck to you. That's your real-time traffic and your morning blend traffic alert brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. Back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strong along with Pamela Musgrove on this Monday morning. We're getting into what National Security Minister Wayne Monroe is suggesting needs to happen if we're going to ever, once and for all, deal with this marital rape issue. Pam and I have been having a fantastic conversation off air, and this is a complex situation. And it's people are, I know, quick to dismiss, and we've probably been guilty of it too. People who say,
how complicated it is, right? Yeah, well, rape is rape, and so it shouldn't be complicated. But I've been giving Pam some examples. And Pam, what have you been telling me?
Based on the examples that you gave
me? Yeah.
What did I say?
That's not rape.
Based on what you told me.
But those things are happening.
But, I mean, so, okay. So, I guess the first step is define what is rape.
Yeah.
Define what is rape. And is, according to the Sexual Offenses Act, right? Is that rape is defined in Section 3 of the Sexual Offenses and Domestic Violence Act of 1991. The act of any person not under 14 years of age having sexual intercourse with another person who is not his spouse. Emphasis added.
Mm-hmm.
So that's according to the law. This
the
is the definition.
Right,
who is not his spouse. And this is without the consent of that other person, with consent which has been extorted or threats of fear or bodily harm, with consent obtained by personating the spouse of that other person, with consent obtained by false and fraudulent representation as to the nature and quality of the act.
Mm.
Now, as the act stands, there's no offense of rape of a spouse, either by a husband or wife of husband. However, under the current law, a person can be prosecuted for sexual assault of his or her spouse if the couple is legally separated or divorced, or if a non-molestation or non-habitation order has been issued.
Yeah. Right. All right.
So that's where we stand right now.
Yeah. So this is why Wayne Monroe is saying that we need to change some, not just the marital laws, but the divorce law as well. Now, the reasons, and no one's going to disagree on that. And we've known that for years, but some of the reasons he gives. Okay, so he says, if marital rape is introduced, then the divorce law would need to be adjusted. He said, quote, we would have to change our divorce law in two ways. If your spouse can withdraw consent for sex, then adultery ought no longer be a ground for divorce. Will willfully refusing your spouse intercourse remain a description of cruelty or available for cruelty? Those will be two ancillary questions that come with that. You have to contend with those at the same time. So this goes back to the examples I was giving you off air, Pat, because people are like, what was he telling you? But so, right, so people are apparently withholding sex. And it seems
so. Give one of those examples that you gave me.
Right, you're refusing to have intercourse because I don't know. You're tired. You're sick. Something's wrong.
Right.
And your husband just says you're my wife and goes right ahead and does what he
wants.
But
you do not fight back. You do not say no. You're saying okay, take it. That's what you want. I have a headache. Take it.
Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So is that considered rape?
You said no.
Yeah, because you're saying the person in marriage consented to it. Mm-hmm. They were
right.
Had a fever. They were had a headache.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, yeah, whatever.
Got a little COVID, and mm-hmm. I don't care.
Yeah,
use my wife.
It wasn't forced. It wasn't you weren't beaten. You weren't made to do it. You said, okay, take it. Is that rape?
Well, this is what Wayne Monroe's asking. Will willfully refusing your spouse intercourse remain a description of cruelty or available for cruelty? Those will be two ancillary questions that come with that. You have to contend with those at the same time.
And that's why I believe that then you have to adjust the divorce law. So if someone consistently says, you know what, I'm not interested, and they're never interested, then make it easy for the other spouse to say, this is important for the survival of this marriage. I need out.
Yeah.
Without making it so difficult.
Exactly. He goes on to say, the reality of this change in our law will be that we will be changing a bit of our social order. If we're going to change a part of our social order over something as important as this, the question will arise as to whether you should seek the will of the people before you do it. If they say yes, it's yes. If they say no, then it's no. Oh, dear. The Freetown MP, who's a Queen's Counsel, noted that the Bahamas has on multiple occasions committed to criminalize marital rape.
He said, quote, we have agreed to do this. We have signed international agreements to do this. The complaint from the advocacy groups is you agreed to do it. You should do it. There's some force in that argument. At the same time, there is force in the argument that says you shouldn't have agreed to do it in the first place. Many in the audience yesterday, PLP members and branch heads, questioned why the government is talking about marital rape. An individual there telling Monroe that he has a problem with, quote, this criminalizing marital rape business. He said, quote, my husband raped me. How can I rape my own wife when the Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians 7:4 that a woman has no control over her body? Well, he's really paraphrasing here, isn't he? Okay.
No, but I disagree with the argument of that. See, when I think about raped, right, I think about the definition. Someone is violently taking you by force against your will.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's no place for that in any relationship. And maybe what needs to happen is the sexual assault in marriage, the sexual assault offense in marriage needs to be widened. Right, because right now you can only accuse someone, or they can only be charged if you are legally separated or you divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe look at widening that, because when I think about rape, your wife isn't interested, and you grab her, you beat her, you throw her down, rip her clothes off, and you rape her. There should be a penalty for that.
Mm. Okay. A woman at the meeting yesterday asked Mr. Monroe if there was a percentage rate of marital rape cases, or if this was, quote, just something you're all trying to put into law. Monroe explained that there is no police data on marital rape because it's not an offense.
But then what the police should be doing is compiling data of this complaint. You can't call it marital rape, but if you have persons coming into you and saying that my husband raped me, there should be a database where this information is being compiled.
Mm.
Because I think that's an important question as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I hear you. I'm thinking of something else that would be, like, if someone said something and it's not a law, what they would do, they'd laugh you on the station. But yes, I mean, that makes sense. It does. But maybe the advocacy groups might have.
And at minimum, since we started having the conversation, they should have been compiling it.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear what our callers have to say. Good morning, caller. You are on Morning Blend.
Hey, good morning, Dwight.
Hi, morning.
And good morning, Lady Pamela.
Good morning.
And good morning to those who wake up in the line of the living. I hope you had something hard in your chest. Dwight, I was a part of that meeting, our branch meeting last night. And I would say this to you, Mr. Stroy and Pam. That goes deep. It goes deep to the point whereas, for what I have been listening to from both sides of those who agree with, when I say agree, well, you know, in marriages, and those who don't, it's two sides of the coin when it comes to that. And the lady that you spoke about, she put that in a way that it cost me as a person who says, who, first of all, I am totally against marital rape. But the way that she explained that deep. And me personally, I will not even debate on that anymore, because from persons who are married and persons who are not married, it's a funny thing, especially to give your version of it when you're not married. Mm. And someone said something to me, and I gotta respect that, because I am not married, but I can give my opinion. But for a person who married, they know what they're going through. Do you realize in our country, women do rape their husbands? It happens. And maybe, you know, us as being men, sometimes, you know, gang report that. But, you know, it's that subject there, I think that needs to be dealt with. I think that in marriages that females should have rights, as well as if they're not married in any which way. And the word rape, it's how do you describe that when in a marriage? It sounds a little bit deep. And I was, you know, as Mr. Monroe and the rest of my brothers in our branch explain it, those who are married and not married, you know, I can't take sides. I just neutral on it. And have a good day, Pam and Dwight.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's take another call, and we'll get to a lot of your messages. They're very interesting. We'll get to those in a second. Caller, good morning. You're on the air. Hi, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Dwight.
Hi. Yeah,
good morning. Good morning.
You know, we get along well once you're not talking about the COVID, right? Because I've heard some disinformation from both of you guys, but I agree with Pam this morning, right? Dwight, I agree with you also. The thing is, right, Dwight, I agree with something that Vic said. You don't have to be mad to have common sense, right, Pam?
Mm-hmm.
And here's why I agree with Pam, because the thing is, the word rape, it sounds barbarous, right? So for a man to rape his wife, it could happen, but then it should be, the narrative should be changed and the law should deviate. So it's different from a real rape, whereas a person don't know someone. So if a person has a relationship with someone, then there has to be some mitigation in the charge.
So if you kill your wife, should we call it something different?
I mean, the law should dub it, to name it something different, because then you cannot turn around and give a man 15 years for having sex with his own wife. But this, you can call it forcible marital sex or whatever, but something, you see what I'm saying, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, it's just part of being humane, because to me, it should deviate. It shouldn't be the same as someone breaking house, raping someone, or a guy going on a date and rape a girl if she's saying no. But I wouldn't have this problem, because I need reciprocity with having sex. So it doesn't even bother me. But I have two daughters. One is up in age, and the other one is very young. So, you know, this is a futile distraction. And so I don't know if you guys have ever read Brave New World, right? The book Brave New World. So what they want to do is take away religion and take away marriage, all right? And they want to get rid of nation states. Most of us don't have no idea what the globalists. These are just mass distractions. And the rich globalists are driving humanity in the direction they want it to. And most of us are readless and mindless and thinkless and biased and contemptuous towards one another's black people. Have a good day, man.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's read some messages before we go to the break. This one says here, it seems as if the minister is not encouraging an urgent high-level debate on marital rape that would result in new legislation. Okay. Well, I'm not sure. Anyway, this one says here, we must be one of the only countries in the world still having this debate. It's sad. Rape is rape. It's a text. Another one here. The National Security Minister, he ought to be made to resign immediately for his silly comments. Okay. This person says here, well, just stop getting married, guys. Problem solved. That's a text. Well, or you could stop forcing yourself on. Anyway, this one says here, the public needs to understand when we borrow all this money from international people and different bodies that money comes with strings attached, stringed requirements, and if this is one of the demands that we want marital rape to be passed in our country, that's what we're going to have to do if we want to keep borrowing all the time. Well,
I think countries have went through this progression. Like in 2005, the U.S. had like 20 of its states that had marital rape as legal, and 30 of the states hadn't, to where it is now, where all U.S. states have it as being illegal, but there's variation in the law from state to state.
Yeah.
So they're saying like about 12 states still, you can still have not outlawed marital rape. So there are countries that are moving towards it, and that's why I feel that we really need to have ongoing conversations about it, so that for persons who are on the outside and don't fully understand it or don't share the views of the persons who want to change the law, then you can help them to understand. They may still hold on to what they believe,
yeah,
but at the same time have the open conversation to, you know, define what we are talking about, go to the law, why was it done, why does it need to be changed, not be afraid of just talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where we are afraid of having these conversations, so
yeah,
we just jump in it and want to change it, and then we can't figure out why people don't see it the way that we see it,
right? This text here, if a wife is being raped or being forced to engage in sexual intercourse against her will, what would be the reason why she wouldn't file for separation? Well, maybe that's what's happening. Maybe that's under cruelty. That's one of the reasons, right? Perhaps that is what's happening in a situation like that. But if he does that, at that point, that's exactly when he can be charged if he does.
But it then goes back to the divorce law,
mm-hmm.
making that easier.
Right.
That if you cannot get along, then you can right. easily just get a divorce.
Because what are you going to say for cruelty?
Mm-hmm.
You can't say rape. So that's a challenge. This person says here, please explain to me how you would prove sex was rape and not consensual in a marriage. Well, it's hard to prove it in anything. Unless there are, right? Unless you're physically attacked and beaten, it's very hard to prove. So that's always a challenge. Always a challenge. And should we get testimonies from those women who've experienced this cruel act? Well, it may help some people. Another one, are we confused in the country about marital rape? When I researched this online, other countries refer to marital rape as forcing underage children into marriage. The end result is a child marriage and marital rape. They do not refer to rape between married adults. Well, I don't know which countries you're looking at, because it sounds like countries in the far or the Middle East. But in other countries, that will be rape is rape. They'll have laws like ours, but it won't say, as Pam pointed out, it specifically says who's not your spouse,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That would not be there.
And it varies. It varies, mm-hmm. particularly in the U.S., from state to state.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. All right. Well, clearly, there's so much more to say on this. The people are saying, yeah, have a referendum. I think that's going to
the
way.
But you need to do what the Guardian need to do, sponsor a series
mm-hmm.
of debates
yeah.
on it, for and against, and have it televised and let persons look at the arguments.
Yeah, I suspect this will be an ongoing, never-ending one, though. I don't know. Anyway, let's take a break. When we come back, we're changing gears. We're talking about saving our young men in this country. We're going to be talking with the Boys Club of the Bahamas as after the break. Stay with us.
We believe in relationship banking. We take pride in getting to know our client. You have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you because we're just like you. Come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com. Visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau, or 352-6676 for Freeport.
Screws and Fasteners World, Balfour Avenue and Palm Beach Street, has those hard-to-find fasteners for you right now. You can find stainless steel regular hex, carriage bolts, galvanized bolts, threaded rods, nails, self-tap screws, sex bolts, anchor bolts, turnbuckles, masonry tools, hand tools, and weed whacker strings. Check out the rope selection and car body fasteners, too. Special orders are welcome. It's your number one fastener store. Screws and Fasteners World, Balfour Avenue and Palm Beach Streets. Call 326-1976.
Drive happy with free fuel for a year with CIBC First Caribbean and Esso. Use your CIBC First Caribbean Visa debit or credit card to fuel up with $25 or over at any participating Esso service station, and you're automatically entered for a chance to win the grand prize and weekly prizes of $200 in fuel or cash. Offer runs until March 20th, 2022. Terms and conditions apply. Visit CIBCFCIB.com for more details. The Esso brand is a trademark of the ExxonMobil Corporation and is used under license.
I have to take a business trip, and I want John to keep things running while I'm away. How can I ensure he keeps within budget? Maybe I need to get him a camera to record everything he does 24/7. Maybe not.
Instead, get RBC Credit Share, the RBC credit card feature that allows you to easily and safely share funds with employees for free. And you set the spending limit, so you're always in control. Find out more at rbc.com/Caribbean/credit share. Special conditions apply.
From off the wall, give that baby back his doll. Leave all the people things alone. There's other ways to get involved. Get involved, get involved. Don't be no fool, stay in school. Let your mind become a tool.
Welcome back to Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strong along with Pamela Musgrove. We're having a very interesting conversation, but we got to change gears right now. I think our guest wants to be a part of that conversation, but no. We'll call it back for another day for that one. But Reverend Samuel Rolla is with us. He's with the Boys Club of the Bahamas, and they've got some big plans for this year. Welcome to the show. You've been on before, right? I had you. A few years back. Welcome back.
I think it was before. I think it's your father.
Yeah.
Who passed away.
Right.
And your nephew was in the Boys Club.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Was a little while back there. But great to see you again.
Right here, sir. Hanging in.
Tell us about the Boys Club. How long has it been around?
We've been around from 1998. We start with three boys.
Wow.
And today we have a membership of 1,275 boys. We're in 18 of the government schools. We have a Boys Club in Abaco, Cat Island, and be starting in Exuma coming up soon.
That's excellent.
And Southern Mango of Kiandras.
Yeah. So why is it important? And what is your aim and objective?
My aim and objective is somebody like me who grew up without a father. Mm-hmm. My father passed away as a young boy. I grew up on the street smoking dope, drinking alcohol, doing the bad things. Mm-hmm. Come to find when the Lord tapped you on my shoulder and say, I have a greater work for you to do. And when I was at St. Matthew's Union Baptist Church and I see all these boys around the church, I went to the pastor and tell him, listen, I want to start a boys club. And he said, no problem. It was first St. Matthew's Union Baptist Church, and then we changed the name to Boys Club of the Bahamas because you can't take a church name into the government schools. Uh-huh. And then we select a board of directors, and the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do with the young?
Well, when we go to the school, because in order for you to be a part of the boys club in the schools, you have to go through the guidance counselor. Mm-hmm. And this boy, who they might say may be at risk, and some don't really be at risk, some just won't be follow the fashion. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And we just sit down, discipline and talk with them, let them know this is not the right way that I see you going. Mm-hmm. Change your method. Mm-hmm. All right? I'm an example. I know what it is to sleep in a 4x4 stinking cell with 13 men in one cell. I know that. I've been there. So this, I use my opportunity, my experience, to tell them, listen, time for that.
So from your experience, what do you feel is the core reason why these young boys turn to a life of crime or turn to that wayward way?
Number one, lack of fathers in the home. And I should say lack of good parenting in the home, because my father died, but thank God for my mother. God bless her soul. Now she died with 9 years now. But when we look at what's going on in our society today, these young boys looking for leadership. Mm-hmm. They're looking for that. They're looking for someone they can go to, sit down and talk. Very seldom you in a home, you see children talking with their parents, what's mm-hmm. going on.
Yep.
Very seldom you see that. Mommy don't have time. Daddy don't have time. So who else growing them up? The television. You have this with their friends, go with the gang.
The gangs.
That's mm-hmm. what they want to do. Mm-hmm. Because the gang is a part of security for them. Oh, that's my boy, but I can deal with him. But yes, we can come, we can work with him. But hey, where do you see yourself in the next 10 years of your life?
So what should we be doing then? Because you mentioned that they have no one to talk to. So, and sometimes you find that their parents are well situated in society. Sometimes their parents are in the church, but they just don't have time to sit down and to conversate. They don't have time for that because they have to work and they have to get busy living. What do you
will
recommend?
Find the time when the child get arrested and you can find the time to go to court.
I agree.
You will find that
I
time.
I agree totally.
Sit down and talk with your child. Make that time for your child. make their time. Don't let somebody else make the time for your child. That's yours. God bless you with that. Sit down. Listen, honey, dad, boy, let's go. Let's sit down. 1 hour.
But that shouldn't start at the age of 13, 14. No. That should be from childhood.
Start from five.
Yeah.
But again, our society now don't have that time for our own children. Don't have our time.
And so what is the solution then?
The solution is persons like me, Carlos Reed, and some other for Rick Fox and all who are doing certain things. The time is government need to put some money into our hand to help our children. I don't get paid for this.
Mm-hmm.
I do this a volunteer of my heart.
So what's been happening here? People are recognizing and putting their children in programs like this? Or
yes,
do you have to go and recruit?
Nope. Once the schools know that, okay, this is the time for the boys' club, mm-hmm. all I do, I just give the application to them, and then they sign up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, Mr. Roll, we got 20 boys right now waiting on you.
Yeah.
All right? Tomorrow I have to go to Tamar Gibson School. Ms. McIntosh ready for me with the kids. Yeah. And that's how we operate. Go from school to school, sit down and talk with them.
Do you get resistance, though, from parents or
You'll find some parents who, but mm-hmm. when they realize who you are, mm-hmm. what your program is all about, then they say, you know, something, I better put my boy in this.
Okay. So let me ask you from your experience. Do you think then it's a failure of parenting?
Yes.
So then what do we do?
What do you do?
Yeah, what do we do with this failure? Because people are continuing to have more and more children and they're going down the same path. How do we arrest this failure?
Find the time.
But maybe we need programs directed towards parenting, a club for
raising
but
again,
healthy parents.
You know how we go in this political thing. Oh, that's my MP. But I ain't going nowhere. No, he ain't going to put no parenting program together. Because he didn't want the one to know he got some bad parent in his constituency. But when it all boils down, we got to sit down and talk with our children. Stop adultifying our children. I know some mothers who, quote unquote, prostitute their children. Dress up their children. Okay, I get mine, you got to get yours. And you're going to realize in the years to come what's going to happen. That child going to throw it right back in your face. Mommy, you caused this. But mommy, you didn't tell me how to do this. Because you got younger mothers today. They ain't know nothing but parenting. The youngest grandmother in the country is what, 31? I want him to be younger than that.
Hmm.
But again, we got to spend time with our children. Regardless of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't find time, the time they can find, it can be Fox or Blizzard.
And I see a vicious cycle then. Unless we arrest this with education and mm-hmm. programs directed
right.
towards parenting as well,
mm-hmm.
I see this as a vicious cycle because we will not have sufficient funds to have programs as people churn out children for programs to try to correct their lifestyle or their behaviors.
Part of that will be having those parents recognize that they have to want better for their children.
Yes.
And I don't know if I get the feeling that a lot of people are there.
Yeah, they right? don't. They don't want
because
that.
Because there are scary. No programs directed to that.
Mm-hmm.
You have, with the right up on top of the hill by police college, I think they go through the courts.
Right, your court mandated.
Your court mandated
mm-hmm.
to go there. Mm-hmm. And if you don't go there, X, Y, Z will happen to you.
Right.
But again, you got to make it mandatory in schools. And when a parent comes to school acting foolishness, listen, you got to check that as a child. I mean, a parent,
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't. I could never go to school and act rude. And then I get a phone call, my mom's here on the corner. No. Mom says, I send you to school. Teacher, you know what to do with him. If he act rude, that's why I send him to school. You can be punished. But again, we don't do it in our country.
I think there should be a mandatory half hour or an hour course in all schools on a social science topic of violence. Whatever the ills that we have in our country, there should be a mandatory course in the schools from primary all the way up to grade 12 mm-hmm. where students must attend, where we address.
What do you think of that, Reverend Earl? Should the boys' club be mandatory for everybody in the country?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And parent. Make sure that parent be there. Let's say that boy don't come to school for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. The parent guy come to school.
Mm-hmm.
Make it mandatory across the board. Because if you don't do it now, where will our country be in the next 10 years?
No.
Where will we be? You can't get a boy to come on this radio and talk sense.
It's terrifying.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so you want to do something big this year, starting this month, I think, with music.
Yes, sir.
We've talked about it a lot on this show, Pam, music and sports. So many of these things are the ways to get through to young men and women in the country. But let's talk about what your plan is.
Well, this afternoon at Stephen Daly School from 4 to 7, we're grooming young people to become leaders through music. I really have, thank God, for some good sponsors who really have sponsored us for some instruments. We have them at the Stephen Daly School. We ask them parents to be a part of. Send your kids there from age 5 to 17. We also have the karate class also. We also have the drill classes. And then we also, this year, we venture into flygrids. Mm-hmm. We have 3-4 teachers who have committed their time to come in and teach the girls how to do the fly goods with the band and everything.
Wow.
And we walked the area last week. Man, listen, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to have the space for all of these kids who come in there. Mm-hmm. But we'll make it happen. We'll make it happen. We have some capable young men who are going to come in, boys who was in the boys club, who went to do junk and all of that. They coming back to say, let me teach these kids the importance of music.
Excellent.
And that's sort of in our young people today.
Yeah.
They be leaders.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I watch that. Mm-hmm. Thank God. Or I go to what's his name? Justilian from Government High. Mm. Go sit down and talk with him.
Yeah.
He give you some song advice, how to do certain things with these kids. And I must say, I've received a lot of calls that they won't bring the application before. I said, no. Bring it when you come in this afternoon at 4 o'clock at Stephen Daly School.
All right, so who can take part in this afternoon?
Anyone who are interested in being part of the band and karate.
How old would you have to be?
Start from 5. Mm-hmm. We're getting them from 5 to 17.
That is perfect.
Yes.
Sports and music.
Yeah, you have to start early. Mm-hmm. Old people say, bend the tree while it's what?
Young.
Mm-hmm. So we want to get them at 5. They might don't have nothing to do with, know how to play music. That's why we can teach them.
Yeah.
We can discipline them in the drill with the wooden guns. That's what we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we feel leading up to. Our goal is to have 250 kids them here at Stephen Daly School.
Okay.
They say normally boys, when they transition from primary to junior school, tend to change.
Yes.
So how are you going to hold them? After they fit from 5, how are you going to hold them?
Give them a leadership role. Mm-hmm. Give them leadership role. In the boys' club in the schools, what we used to do, give them the press, who's the bitter president, the vice president, and give me the voice boy, and I can make him president. And his job is going to be to govern the rest. Mm-hmm. Boy, I'm in charge now. Y'all got to do. But you see, again, you're using what you call your voice psychology on him. Yeah. That's what he want to do. He want to be in charge. So, okay, you're in charge of 35 boys. If 2 of them don't come to a club meeting, I held you responsible. And so what he do? He step out of his class. He asks the teacher. If we know lunchtime, he know what to do. Mm-hmm. He get his lunch, and he stand by the door. And listen, fellas, time. Because I don't want to get punished. Mm-hmm. You know, that does a frame of mind to say punish him. Mm-hmm. But no. That's his job.
Fail.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I have seen a lot of young men.
Empowering them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I must give God thanks because these young boys, when I go around places every day, I see them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I say, boy, you remember Betsy? He said, yeah. None of my young boys in the boys club, they will ever wear earring in their ears.
Honestly, there's something wrong with wearing earrings.
I need that for women. I never see Jesus wear it, so
no,
I wouldn't wear it.
That's a whole different conversation.
Whole other show.
I personally don't think there's anything wrong with it, but that's a whole different conversation.
All right, so tell us what people need to know about, if you're interested, what you need to do.
If you're
today
interested, meet me this afternoon with my team at Stephen Daly School at 4 p.m. We start from 4 o'clock to 7. We're doing the fly grids, the band, the self-discipline training, the martial art, all of that going to be done at Stephen Daly School for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I find one of the issues with kids and programs? A lot of times they don't have transportation. I remember growing up, right? My father was the only one who had a car. And for us to go to church, we had to catch the church bus. If the church bus didn't come, we stayed home. And I find a challenge that I've had when I was trying to help other young persons to get to the program, the problem was they didn't have the transportation.
I believe also when I started with three boys, I had one Ford truck. Mm-hmm. And I had 44 boys on the back of that truck. God bless his soul now. He passed away. Deputy Commissioner Cunningham. And he stopped me on the road and he said, "Mr. Well, I know what you're doing, but this ain't healthy. If you want to get somewhere, you will find a ride to get there." My thing is that I don't want to say, pick up a child. Mm-hmm. This ain't going to be no babysitting time. Mm-hmm. Parents will drop the child and then I'm, no. We start at 4, you come back at 7 to pick up your child.
Mm. I understand that. I understand from your perspective. I'm just saying that will be a deterrent for some children that don't have the transportation. And the parents probably aren't even concerned about it or don't have the means of transportation themselves.
Yes.
So those boys will probably be left out.
We can have boys and girls there. So we'll see if we can work it out and go from there.
Okay. Yeah. And so what are you expecting from this by the end of the year, by 2 years, 5 years from now with this group?
What I'm
today?
Expecting from this, the boys who will be leaders through music will get scholarships.
Wow.
We have something in plan that a local business, they say give them 6 months, 8 months, okay? And they will help sponsor a young boy or girl to a college.
Excellent.
And so this is where we start from. So parents, if you're interested and you want your child to go to college, listen, music is the key.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have any testimonials with boys who've been in the program and where they are right now?
Wow. We're
going to do a whole show on that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you need to bring them forward so people can see.
I will do that.
We'll organize that.
You know Eric Miller, who's a young priest? He's an Anglican priest now.
Okay.
He started off at Yellow Valley School.
Yeah.
A3 in the sixth grade.
Excellent.
And he said, "I won't be a priest." I said, "Boy, stop talking crazy." Mm-hmm. Now that young boy.
Yeah.
Eric Miller.
Great
he's
stuff.
In Cat Island. Whenever you invite me, give me
we'll
time.
Do that.
I'll bring a couple of them.
We'll do that. And if you can't make it tonight, is there another time you can come?
This whole week.
Yeah.
Registration.
Okay.
This whole week until we get our 250 kids.
Okay.
We got enough instruments. We got the karate fellas ready. We got the ladies ready for the fly good. We got everybody
excellent
ready.
Stuff.
Just waiting on you.
Reverend Samuel Roll, this is
thank
great
you
stuff.
Bless you.
Keep up the wonderful work that you're doing. Boys Club of the Bahamas.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate you. And we're going to have you back with some success stories.
Yes, sir.
Just for Pam to hear how wonderful this program is.
And no fight, no marital.
No. We won't talk about that day. This is Morning Blend. We're going to be back. When we come back, Morning Blend Business, we're talking about the Grand Bahama Port Authority, that protest they had there last week. What was that all about? We've got some of the organizers joining us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Go! Woo!
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day.
Good morning and welcome to Morning Blend Business on this Monday, March 7th, 2022. Welcome back to our Morning Blend listeners. Once again, I'm Dwight Strawn along with Pamela Musgrove. And this morning we are talking about Grand Bahama and the march, the protest, the demonstration against the Grand Bahama Port Authority last week, Friday. This morning we have the organizers of the event. Before we meet them, though, take a listen to this report on what exactly happened Friday and what the folks who took part in this have to say about the GBPA. This report from our Bertha Lee McDermott.
Come back declaring war on the Grand Bahama Port Authority because enough is enough.
Grand Bahamians took to the streets in protest against the Grand Bahama Port Authority as they believe the GBPA has failed the island.
Free Grand Bahama! Free Grand Bahama! Free Grand Bahama!
And the state of our island is unacceptable. You lack maintenance, you lack development, and you lack management of our city. And we're calling on you to do what you have been called to do and to make sure that it gets done. And we're calling on the executives to work harder. If you're working now, work harder in making sure that this island is developed and it goes back to the state we once knew it to be. A functioning international airport, a functioning hospital, a functioning robust economy with businesses and all sorts of other stuff.
Residents marched from D's Car Rental Limited on West Mall Drive to the GBPA on Mall Drive to present a document with their list of demands.
This is a document, sir, of the people of Grand Bahama, business owners with issues and concerns.
According to protest organizer Darren Cooper, they're giving the Port Authority 30 days or they will be back. The group was joined by Central Grand Bahama Member of Parliament Iram Lewis and former Pine Ridge MP Frederick McAlpine. Residents say they're not satisfied with the Port Authority.
All they do all day long is collect tax. The other day I wrote a check, it bums. Why? Because I don't have no money in my account. Okay? All they do every month, you're going to get a bill from Port Authority. But their job is to bring investors here to grow the economy. They sit down all day just collecting tax from us Bahamian people.
Change, man. Grand Bahama need a change.
My soul is
addressed. For his future, for the kids' future, your future, my future.
But as the crowd of disgruntled locals marched into the yard of the GBPA to present their document, things got a bit heated as officials from the Port Authority sought to address the crowd. This as GBPA President Ian Roll advised residents to read the Hawksbill Creek Agreement for themselves.
Right now there's too much emotional charge persons who lack the knowledge because they have not read.
We cannot get resolution if we are fighting each other and not listening to what we have to say. We came out here to show you the respect to meet with you. You didn't hide behind you. You didn't hide behind you. We faced you. Understand that this is not an easy position to be in. And we are just like you.
The GBPA president said they're open to constructive criticism as they aim to do their best in the delivery of service. The GBPA pledged to provide a forum for residents to express their concerns.
Forward to talking. That's what we want. We want to not just be called stakeholders, but we want to be stakeholders. We want to be involved. We want to be able to get our island where we want it to be, booming with a robust economy.
Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Berthany McDermott.
All right, and you heard his voice in the report there, Darren Cooper, one of the organizers, and I'm glad to be with us again. Darren, welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
And he's also here with Daquan Swain and Frederick McAlpine. Frederick McAlpine, good morning. Daquan Swain, good morning. Great to have you all with us.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
All right. So, Darren, I guess we'll begin with you. We've talked to you often about what's happening there in Grand Bahama, and this has been going on for a long, long time. But I know that when we have conversations with a lot of people from Grand Bahama, they are almost defensive and want to defend the Port Authority. But it seems like at least with the group that you had on Friday, that you've reached the end of that rope. What exactly led to this this action last week?
Good morning, Bahamas. I think one of the things where we are now as a people is, we've been understanding, we've been bearable, we've been workable, and trying to be able to get resolute to our concerns and our issues. I think, the final straw for us was when the regulators, which is the Grand Bahama Port Authority, would have given the rate increase to the Grand Bahama Power Company on the backs of already hurting economy where persons can't afford to meet ends meet. And so if you say that you want us to be understandable, you want us to be workable, you want us to be patient, then you should say to those other high companies to do the same thing. Understand that Grand Bahama is going through right now. We will put your matter on a hold. But when we get our economy back up, stabilized and going, we would then come back and we would revisit this application. Yes, the application has been submitted more than once, but I think that was the throw off for Grand Bahama, where we then realize the insensitiveness of those who sit in this decision-making seat and not understanding where we really are as a people. People can't pay their utilities. People can't feed their families. There's no jobs on the island. And the reality of it is, even in response to the president, where he encouraged us to go and read the Hawker Creek Agreement, I'd encourage the president just to go and read about the Grand Bahama Port Authority on their website. And what we've said in our press conference and our demonstration is, your responsibility is to manage, to maintain, and to develop. And if you go on the port website, you will see where they say in the agreement, in the Hawkshead Creek Agreement, these are our responsibilities. They use, instead of maintenance, they use administration. But they have management and they have development right there in their manifesto of governance of the port. And so I really don't understand what it meant. I mean, he may be hinting us to something more of the agreement that we may need to read deeper in. But I think Grand Bahama has had enough. We are going to push the port. We are going to push the government to make sure that this island that we once know it to be is returned back to its glory days. Mm. And persons who are all around the Bahamas and around the world can come home to a robust opportunity economy of Grand Bahama.
Frederick McElpine, I want to get your take on what you think Ian Rowe meant there about read the Hawksville Creek Agreement. What do you think he's, I don't want to put words in your mouth, what did you make of that?
Well, I think he's basically alluding to the fact that we're not intellectually sound enough to be able to decipher what the Hawksville Creek Agreement is saying. But what's the use coming to us at this intellectual capacity about the Hawksville Creek Agreement, when in essence they themselves have not been living up to the letter of the agreement within itself? So if the agreement isn't benefiting the masses or the inhabitants of the island, we have a right to say to them, look, you have been lacking in vision and lacking in sympathy and empathy for the conditions that we are now facing at this critical economic time in the lives of Grand Bahamians.
Do you think he was suggesting that the government has a great role to play in this, especially when it comes to attracting investors to the island?
I don't think that's the responsibility of the government. That's the responsibility of the Grand Bahama Port Authority. That's why they were initially here in the first place, to attract investment to the island and to make sure that investors come to the island and that those investments would be to the point whereby the masses can benefit by way of employment and by way of sharing entrepreneurship with investors and being a part of it. The reality is, which Darren has been trying to indicate, for the last 18 years since the death of Mr. Edward St. George, Grand Bahama has been stagnant, albeit that we've had major hurricanes that have contributed to this. But the reality is, we're living off of the economic residue of that of the late Edward St. George, who basically everything that has been beneficial to us today has been the result or the planting of that and the vision of that of Mr. Edward St. George. Since the port has been taken over by Mr. Ian Rowe and his executives, there has hardly been any progression on the island of Grand Bahama. And we have basically seen the deterioration of the island from year to year, month to month, week to week, hour to hour.
What do you feel is in the Hawksville Creek Agreement that is holding the Grand Bahama Port Authority's hands in moving forward or in developing or managing the island like you accuse them of not being able to do?
Well, let's just go with the basic right now. If we were to follow the Hawksville Creek Agreement to the letter, then really the airport and the hospital would not be the responsibility of the government. Now, mind you, I cannot speak to this present government because they've not been in office long enough. But successive governments have had, it's like a marriage gone bad, and like my friend Darren would say, it's like a marriage gone bad and the children are suffering. It seems as if they can't get on with but the governments have not been able to successfully put the pressure on the Grand Bahama Port Authority to do what they need to do. Equally, they continue to basically have this pendant swinging both ways. When it's convenient, they blame the government. When the government's convenient, they blame the Port Authority. And then on the other third wheel of this is Hutchison Wanpoa, who it seems like Hutchison Wanpoa and his partner, which is the Grand Bahama Port Authority or the families of the Grand Bahama Port Authority, can't seem to get their act together. So we're in a we're in a triangle love affair that has gone bad, and the only people suffering are the people of Grand Bahama. So if, the, for instance, we were following the letter of the Hawksville Creek Agreement, then the hospital is the responsibility of the Grand Bahama Port Authority. The roads that are deteriorating is the responsibility of the Grand Bahama Port Authority. The airport is the responsibility of the Grand Bahama Port Authority. And the Grand Bahama Port Authority allowed its partner, Hutchison Wanpoa, to do a real good number on the last government in power in terms of the selling of the hotel and the airport. We were truly taken to the bank.
Okay, so what is the ownership structure of the Grand Bahama Port Authority?
The ownership structure is basically the Edward St. George, the St. George's, sorry, and the Haywards, along with Hutchison Wanpoa. Now, there's always been this rumor about there is perhaps 7% shares that belong to the government, but that hasn't seemed to hold water nowhere. Nobody can seem to find the 7% in terms of monetary and us reaping the benefits. So I don't even want to even put that on the table. We heard about it, but
again,
there was
an agreement. As you know, the government.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I think that was a break-in. Audio.
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah. We're good. Continue. Mm-hmm.
There was some kind of an agreement made under the last regime where I think when the Progressive Liberal Party was in the last time, they were holding their feet to the fire and they did some kind of agreement, an MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, whereby one portion of the Port Authority was seeking to find buyers and to make things. But then we came in, the Free National Movement, and that thing just went right down. So basically, it's like nobody's holding the Grand Bahama Port Authority accountable at this time other than Darren Cooper.
Mm-hmm. Darren, let's talk more about what came out of that. We know you did get to speak to Ian Rowland and some other representatives from the GBPA. What came out of that and what you're expecting over the next few days as a result of this protest last week?
Me or Daquan?
Any one of you. Daquan?
So, good morning. What I would say came out of it is the biggest part for me was the eye-opening of the people of Grand Bahama, because for years now, we've had a situation where Grand Bahamians have been so passive with their approach when it came to the lack of rapport between the Grand Bahama Port Authority and the government. And you have this gray space where Grand Bahamians just didn't want to get involved because, you know, the community is small. We have a nature of blacklisting people. We have a nature of people afraid to lose their jobs. But the biggest part for me was the eye-opening factors to see that Grand Bahamians came out of numbers and supported the initiative because everybody has the same mutual level of injustice at their face. You know, Grand Bahamians have reached a point now where they're tired of suffering in silence and they're tired of suffering in the comfort of their home. And they've now reached a level of comfort where they are willing to come out in numbers to show support of mutual injustices. So the biggest thing that came out of that for me was the level of support that came out of it, and it opened so many Grand Bahamians' eyes, and it shows the changing times that we're in. Because if we did this a couple of years ago, it probably would have only been me, Darren, Mark Alpine out there with maybe one or two other people. But now we look at it now, it shows that people aren't going to accept what happened to our great-grandmothers, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, our ancestors, because now we're willing to be that change that we want to see. So the biggest part for me, again, was the fact that it was an eye-opener for Grand Bahamians and at large the Bahamas to see that Grand Bahamian people are mutually fed up with this issue.
Mm-hmm. If I could add to Daquan, if I may, I think what was an eye-opener or what I got out of this was to see that we were able, as a people, to get the president and his chief operational officer out of their comfortable office and meet the people downstairs and to see their response and the way that they were responding was sufficient for me that they understand that the people are serious in spite of whatever they may seek to do in demonizing us and in calling us stupid or dumb or whatever. We, these demonized people, these uneducated people, was able to get these intelligent, sane folks out of their comfort zone and downstairs to be able to greet us for whatever they say it was worth. We believe that our message was heard. And I think that in days to come, that the Grand Mama Port Authority is going to be peddling back or dealing with a lot of what we have as a people demand from them. We are going, I believe strongly in the days to come, that we are going to see plenty results that's now going to come. And those for so long who have been used to fatten their pockets and take care of themselves, the lavatory is now going to have to burn the midnight oil in working and making sure that those deals that they have announced, not us, they have announced is developed and is signed. And so I think we are on the right track. We're not letting up now. We are not buyable. We're not bribeable. We're not all of those books. We are a private group of people where we want opportunity for all of us, that we at the end of the day will be able to take care of our families and respectfully take care of our families.
All right, so let's talk a little more about that, because just a few weeks ago we heard the Prime Minister make that statement, that infamous statement now about what happened in Dubai, and when he talked to investors who were saying they would invest anywhere in the Bahamas except for Grand Bahama. You know, there's been some strong reaction to that, but many are saying, well, they're not surprised, especially with the structure of the island, especially the Freeport area. But isn't this a major roadblock for anybody, whether it's the port or the government? What do you say to that? And can anything realistically be done when there are many with that type of mentality?
I think what needs to happen now, yes, the Prime Minister made a statement. That statement caused a reaction from the President, which, you know, in my view and in many other views, should not have answered the Prime Minister on national TV, because the reality of it is the government, you need the government to be successful. Yes, there is an agreement, but the government also has their way of playing this card as well. I think, you know, that was the start of where we are now. The investor confidence in Grand Bahama, we don't have to see it. We feel it. We understand it. There is no confidence in investors in Grand Bahama. And so, you know, I think the more important message out of all of this is to say to the President of the Port Authority, it is time now for you to get, put your pride aside and to humble yourself and be able to have some sort of communication, proper dialogue and communication with the governor of the Bahamas, because any success is going to be a partnership with the governor of the Bahamas. And again, if you can't seem to drive that partnership or rekindle that love between government and port, the people are coming back at you. And the people is also going to come back at the government. And we are going to be those children that's going to force a marriage to appear to be good, but it's going to be good for the satisfaction of the children. We're suffering. I think Friday says that we are no longer playing with you. We are dead serious in what we are saying and in our action. So I think they should get it together.
Pam's dying to ask a question, but Frederick McAlpine, I heard you chiming in there. What were you going to say to that?
Yeah, I want to agree with what was said by Darren. And also, the reality is, if at the end of the day, the Prime Minister made such a statement that you cannot lay investment at the feet of the government or the cabinet of the Bahamas, you're going to have to lay that quagmire or that dialogue that was made by the Prime Minister about the lack of investment or people not wanting to come to Grand Bahama to do investment, you're going to have to lay that solely at the feet of the Grand Bahama Port Authority. because they are responsible, according to the Hostile Creek Agreement, for investment and investors, particularly in the area of Freeport. And so, again, that's their responsibility, and they have to man up to it. And again, I say successive government have not done a good job in holding them accountable to do and fulfill this task. And let me also say, the question was asked, what did I get out of Friday meeting, meeting with the port, or the reaction? I think what I took away from that was to see people of different political ilks and persons of different demographics and even skin color were able to come together and be a part of this. And I think that in itself speaks volumes, and it says a lot as to what the frustration on the island is when it comes to the people of Grand Bahama.
Okay. So does the president of the Grand Bahama Port Authority really have any authority? Aren't they, the Grand Bahama Port Authority of employees, just working for the owners of this authority?
If you've been placed as the CEO in charge of the company, it is your responsibility to manage the day-to-day affairs, but also your responsibility to follow an agreement that this company is in holding up. This company holds the agreement. He sits as the president. I know over the years we've had a president and we've also had a chairman. For many years we've only had the last chairman we had was Hans Babak, and we've had president, which was Ian Rhodes. We've had no replacement of a chairman since. But even though they are employees of the Grand Bahama Port Authority and they have to probably go to the principal owners for a certain decision making, it is still their responsibility to make sure that the principal owners carry out the responsibility of the agreement that they want to use at times for the convenience of themselves. And so it is the president, along with his executives, who are, along with other bodies, the regulators. And so they would have given the approval to the power company. I think the president has, may not have a full decision-making position, but I believe that the president has some decision-making authority to do and to be able to carry it out. I think he's very, he influenced the principal owners to be able to get them to do certain things. The president wanted to promote his executives. He promoted his executives. So if you could promote your executives, you should be able to get some investments to the island. So he has a little bit of authority.
See, I stand to be educated on this, but I look at this like, for instance, let me use an example, BPL. You can get a general manager for BPL, but that general manager has no authority outside of the government of the Bahamas. Actually, I can give you an example that just happened where the CEO for BPL sent out a notice that they were going to increase the rate, and then he quickly pulled it back because the minister said the cabinet or the government hadn't given the approval. So I look at these persons, and I stand to be corrected or educated on the matter. They are just administrators for the real owners who are really calling all the shot as it relates to the Grand Bahama Port Authority. That's just my, I stand to be corrected.
I hear you, Pamela, and it's good to meet you via this way. I listen to you constantly, and you have some very good views.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, in this case, I want to say to you, I understand what you said, and your case with BPL is valid. But also the reality is here is that as far as I know, the CEO or the president is in consultation on a continuous basis with the acting chairman, who is Sarah St. George. And he's in contact with the Hutchison Wanpoa side and the the Hayward side.
Hayward.
So there's no reason for there to be a discrepancy. If there is a problem, the only recourse we have is to take it to the president and to take it to the chairman and the board. So they still, that does not neglect them from doing what they're supposed to be doing. And if he's the president must then push the vision of what the Grand Bahama Port Authority is doing and what the executives are doing and what the shareholders are doing. And so I think they're on talking terms in that regard. But now, are we getting anything done in sense of, is the licensees feeling comfortable? Are the residents feeling comfortable? The problem is we have something to compare it with. And therefore, we're talking about a lack of vision. And whether that lack of vision lies at the feet of the president or the owners, it still doesn't negate the fact that we're in trouble and somebody must be held accountable.
All right. Let's take this call really quickly. Good morning, caller. Morning, Blend Business.
Morning, Dwight and Tom. Good morning to your guests and good morning to the Bahamas.
Hi.
I have a few questions I'd like to throw it to you, Dwight. If you could kindly write them down, please, and then I'll hang up after I pose them.
Okay.
For your guests in Grand Bahama, first of all, who are the owners of the Port Authority? Number two, is there any move afoot by Grand Bahamians now to come together, not just to protest, but to boycott the power company over there by installing solar energy systems or other means of independently powering their businesses and homes? And can that be done without the permission of the Port Authority? And thirdly, when did Grand Bahama begin to suffer because of the lack of interest, or when did the lack of interest, apparent lack of interest by the Port Authority in that island start to become apparent to the Grand Bahamians? Obviously, it did happen, but I'd like to know how far back, if you guys are aware of it. And I forgot my fourth question, but okay. those are the few questions I have, Dwight, your guests, and you guys can answer them for the public. I'd appreciate
sure.
it.
Sure. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I think we already discussed the owners. It's still the St. George's and the Haywoods.
And the lack of interest was about 18 years ago on the death of Mr. St. George because we were used to a certain standard after his death, albeit we had Hurricane Francis and Jenny and Wilma that hurt us, devastated us. But the island never seemed to have caught itself, and the leadership was in the hands of this crew right now that's presently in charge. I think Mr. Ian Rohl has always been a part of that group or that regime that has been running the port since his death. In terms of the power company, as Mr. Cooper and Darren Cooper indicated earlier, the government did not want this increase. My problem with the increase of the Grand Bahama Power Company is simply this. During a hard economic time, when the government said, look, this is not fair to put on the people of Grand Bahama, they went ahead and did what they wanted to do anyhow. They flexed their muscles against a new government. So they basically told this new government, we enlarge and we in charge. And we can show you all that. And so they come back with 3.3%. My question is, why is the Port Authority being the regulators for the power company when I believe that there are even persons who sit on the executive and perhaps even those in ownership that may have some kind of share or interest within the power company? So that in itself is a conflict.
Okay.
And,
I think the quorum could expand more on that power issue situation, the quorum will be there, because I think there's something that we should also know that the quorum can also share and bring light to.
Okay, Duquan, hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to you, and we have more questions for all of you. This is Morning Blend Business on Guardian Radio 96.9. Stay with us.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with a loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what are we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Calls 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches. Fidelity, we're good for you.
It's time for your morning business report brought to you by CFAL, noting that the government did not specify corrective mechanisms in the 2021-2022 budget to return to the fiscal path prescribed by the Fiscal Responsibility Act. Fiscal Responsibility Council and the Act should be amended to ensure planned timeframes are communicated when the exceptional circumstances clause is revoked. The government invoking the exceptional circumstances clause, which provided for in the FRA following the twin fiscal crises of Hurricane Dorian and COVID-19. The administration initially targeted a deficit to GDP ratio of no more than 0.5% by fiscal year 2020-2021 and a debt to GDP ratio of no more than 50% by 2024-2025. However, given the severe impact of the twin fiscal crises, the government said it would not be able to meet those targets until fiscal year 2024, 2025, and 2028-2029. In its assessment report of the 2021-2022 annual and supplementary budgets, the FRC is saying that while flexibility is required given such circumstances, the proposed extensions of the respective targets are not accompanied by a clear strategy to realign the fiscal accounts toward a trajectory consistent with the revised targets. After a disappointing January, NAD, Nassau Airport Development Company, and its president, Vernice Walking, saying that they're no longer optimistic of stronger traveler numbers through Lyndon Pinling International in the near term. NAD revealing that the total departures in January amounted to 77,171, while up from the 23,099 departures in January 2021. Walking says the month fell flat of projections, but there was recovery in February. And stony coral tissue loss disease is threatening the future of fisheries and tourism businesses related to coral reefs. Marine scientists and conservationists were speaking, they're all speaking about this last week, explaining that the fishermen and divers have reported many areas of dead coral. Executive Director of BNT, Eric Carey, speaking last week, saying that stony coral disease is threatening our very way of life. Waterkeepers Bahamas Executive Director Rashima Ingram says that the disease is sure to affect the livelihoods of Bahamians if it's left untreated. In your Market Watch, recapping trading on the BSX from Friday, your market movers, Fidelity Bank moving 500 shares, closing unchanged at $15. Focal moving 6,390, up 6 cents to 399. Consolidated Water up 2 cents to 195. Emira Incorporated up 28 cents to 1168. The BSX All Share Index closing at 2,249.28, up 2.67. Recapping the week, the local market ended the week with 64,450 shares crossing the exchange in 20 trades, accumulating a value of $282,852. The BSX All Share Index gained 4.94 points or 0.22%. Year-to-date, the index is up 21.18 points or 0.951%. The week's volume and value leader, Focal, moving 49,550 shares in 13 trades with a value of $196,763. That's your Market Watch. And that is your morning business report brought to you by CFAL, growing wealth for future generations. And tune in tonight for CFAL Talks right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 at 6:30 p.m.
Drive happy with free fuel for a year with CIBC First Caribbean and Esso. Use your CIBC First Caribbean Visa debit or credit card to fuel up with $25 or over at any participating Esso service station, and you are automatically entered for a chance to win the grand prize and weekly prizes of $200 in fuel or cash. Offer runs until March 20th, 2022. Terms and conditions apply. Visit CIBCFCIB.com for more details. The Esso brand is a trademark of the ExxonMobil Corporation and is used under license.
Ready to save? You can put $100 into the CFAL Savings Express plan and make sure your money keeps growing. Earn interest on your savings while you're sleeping, eating, or standing in line at the bank. Ready to invest? Start by putting $1,000 into our mutual funds and earn interest there too. Because at CFAL, your interest is our interest. Visit CFAL.com to start now. CFAL. Growing wealth for future generations of Bahamians.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
We're back here with Morning Blend Business on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strawn along with Pamela Musgrove. We're talking with the organizers of a protest last week against the Grand Bahama Port Authority, Darren Cooper and Daquan Swain, and Frederick McAlpine is also with us this morning. All right, before the break, we were talking about responding to that question from one of our callers about the power company issue there. Daquan, what say you on this?
Yep, so actually, you know, even when we brought it up earlier, you know, before the caller, when we gave the BPL example about how quick the government intervention was with that when they let out the release to say that they'll be increasing the rates. And we saw the quick government intervention to say that, hey, I don't know where you got that from, but that's not the case. And it was very funny because, you know, we faced something so similar in Grand Bahama just recently. And if we go back to 2015 when the Electricity Act was passed in the House of Assembly, where if you look at Section 4, and the second part of Section 4, you'll see that the Act says that this Act is to govern the entire Bahamas, inclusive of the port area of Grand Bahama, which makes it specific. Because for an Act to be so specific, they want you to know that, hey, listen, we know that the Hawkesbury Creek Agreement is in place, but this Act is to govern and it's inclusive of the port area, which means that IRCA under that Act should have been the national regulators of utility in this country, right? Meaning that under IRCA should come the Grand Bahama Power Company. The Grand Bahama Port Authority never paid attention to that act. And then you ask the question, what precedent does that set where you allow a private company to not obey under statute law? So if we fast forward, we had where they wanted to increase the power bills over here. And we had no government intervention. We saw a press statement that come out, but the reality is the rate was increased and it was approved by the Grand Bahama Port Authority. So the question is, how can the Port Authority still allow to approve rates, allow to improve bill increases, allow to improve policies as the regulator over the Grand Bahama Power Company if we passed statute law in the country in 2015 that made IRCA national regulators of utility? And I thought that only regulators can approve new rate increases for consumers to pay. So the question is, what precedent do you set where you allow a private company to dictate to the government? Because I feel like we're a country of law. And as citizens, we fall under that law and we are supposed to follow the law. So why should private companies be allowed to dictate the law? And it sends a clear message when you have a private company saying that, we don't care what you guys passed in the House of Assembly. We are regulating this company and we are going to approve this rate increase. But when we look at the flip side and we look at BPL, All they did was announce, and we had a swift message by the government. But here lies the forgotten child, Grand Bahama. When it happened to us, we're now preparing for that rate increase to start on April 1st.
Okay, and so I'm glad we have Frederick McAlpine, a former member of parliament. So what is the role of the MP in this, in all of this? I mean, isn't this why we have five representatives for Grand Bahama? Is there nothing that could have been done or can be done? What is the role of the MP in this at all? And shouldn't the MPs take some responsibility for the lack of progress we're seeing on the island?
So I'm going to say something here that is going to perhaps be controversial, but controversy will be nothing different coming from me. The reality is, when you have people like the Port Authority making large donations to these political organizations, when they come in government, their hands are tied. That's what it really boils down to, Mr. Swan and Pamela. Their hands are tied, so they cannot speak honestly and fervently to the issues that affect the people because they're beholden to such a conglomerate corporation. And so now, when, I mean, Kwan brought up a good example. Basically, you know, they say there's not going to be an improvement in the rate. We don't agree. They come right behind and say, we're going to improve it anyhow. Now you need to go and find out how much was in the check during the last election that they received. And then you'll find out why many times successive governments, they give to both, but successive government have a problem reeling in the Grand Bahama Port Authority because oftentimes these governments are beholden to the Grand Bahama Port Authority because of their financial donations. And henceforth, there is a cry for financial reform in this country when it comes to electorate reforms.
Is it that government probably has no control under this area, under the Hawksville Creek agreement, and that is why it could not do what it did to BPL in your case?
I differ.
See, that's why I was asking about ownership. See, it all depends on ownership. The government has no jurisdiction, so they cannot stop them based on the Hawksbill Creek agreement and their authority.
I'm with you, Pound. Let me ask you a question. If you and I have an agreement and you breach the agreement and I breach the agreement, isn't that agreement practically null and void? Right. Shouldn't we not start again? Because you're not keeping your end of the bargain and I'm not keeping my end of the bargain. So what should happen in that case?
It should be.
Be a new agreement.
Yeah.
And get away with the agreement.
And then to take it further, the Hawksbill Creek agreement is law. And then we see now a new law. So the question is, it's a battle of laws. Which law takes precedent? Is it the Electricity Act of 2015? Or is it the Hawksbill Creek Agreement at the inception of 1950?
Yeah. I'm seeing where...
If it is the Hawksbill Creek Agreement, then again, they would have neglected their duties. They have become derelict in their duties, particularly for the last 18 years.
I do not think the Hawksbill Creek Agreement is law. It's an agreement that has never been placed into law. And so we could get big debate on this agreement that's really dormant and doesn't have much merit if we look at the law part of it, because it's no law. It's only an agreement that continues to be extended. Part of the agreement continues to be extended because no government as yet built up the courage to either make it law or to abolish it.
Mm-hmm. That's what I want to know. You're saying extended because I'm seeing where this agreement was signed on August 4th, 1955 for 99 years. And they had the exclusive right to develop this 50 acres of undeveloped land. So in 2054, this agreement will be expired?
So it's like...
I think it had expired already and it had been renewed at the...
A portion of the agreement has expired, but the actual Hawksbill Creek agreement that was signed in 1950, August 4th, that expires in 2054.
Right.
That's the overall agreement. But the exemption on real property tax and some other exemptions has been extended.
And it was extended, the first extension was done, if I'm correct, was done under the Hubert Ingham administration when, during the time of that extension, was when Grand Bahama got the two government schools, because you want this agreement, we want certain things to be done. And that then was through the visionaries of the real visionaries, the second portion of the visionaries, the Edwards and George and Sir Jack Heywood, which we now have schools in Grand Bahama, Sir Jack Heywood High School, Edwards and George High School. And those were the agreement. Build us some state-of-the-art schools, some gymnasiums, give us this, give us that, give us the other.
That shouldn't have been, because a part of the agreement was the construction of the airport and schools and other amenities. So why would you extend it again just to get some additional schools?
It goes back to what the former member of parliament said. At the end of the day, you're not doing what you're supposed to do in the agreement, and I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do in the agreement. So nobody wants to touch the agreement, but now you need something to be done in the agreement. So you come back to me and you say, I need this to be done in the agreement. And then the person who has to give you the extension says, okay, well, if you want that done, then give me this and I can give you that. Mm-hmm. Tit for tat, butter for fat. But, you know, and so the reality of it, we've seen the playing with the lives of Grand Bahama, with successive governments, that I can get what I want, and when I get what I want, I can play the Russian roulette game and allow the people to suffer for it.
So let me ask you.
So to be fair to the Grand Bahama Port Authority, there are some things that the Grand Bahama Port Authority has made requests from the government to give them a little more bite to do some things in the city of Freeport. As related to the revitalized Grand Bahama Reef Committee proposal that has been sent to the former administration that was in office. And I had the opportunity to sit during that session, and the port was asking for a little more control. I don't believe that the port is warranted some of the controls that they wanted, because they wanted some immigration controls. They wanted some controls over approval of some applications. They wanted also additional controls, which I felt they weren't warranted. You weren't doing necessarily the control you had now, and you wanted more control, which would have more tied the hands of government and caused there to be again this island to be even more or under the authority of the Grand Bahama Port Authority. And so there were some things that they needed to be able to get control of, to do some things as it relates to the derelict and abandoned buildings and some other stuff. But we continue to see the playing of government with this matter. And I would hope that the Davis Cooper administration really looks closely at this agreement, which is not law, an agreement that any agreement that someone has, there is a claw. There is a breakable claw that's always in any agreement. Even if you have to pay, the governor of the Bahamas do have the autonomy and the rights to break an agreement that has been written. We've seen it. It's a contract between government and Port Authority. And you know all contracts can be broken.
So do you believe that in 2054, it may seem like a long time, but it's only 32 years and we have less remaining than we have already used up. Do you believe that we as a country are ready to take over from where the Grand Bahama Port Authority would have left off in 2054? Are we preparing to assume responsibility for Grand Bahama?
I just want to say this. Grand Bahama has some of the brightest and the most well-equipped Grand Bahamians to be able to take Grand Bahama from the Grand Bahama Port Authority and to be able to develop it, state-of-the-art, and to be able to give us better in service and quality than we've been getting over the years. So, yes, we are equipped. We are prepared. We're not preparing. We are prepared to take ownership and to be able to execute on the development of Grand Bahama.
I think you remember, Darren, the last time you were on the show, or one of the last few times you were on the show, I proposed it. I said it. Should this not be of an entity where elected officials, where these appointed positions transfer to elected officials to function in this capacity? People who have some skin in the game will lose their seat if they don't perform, as opposed to just being in a position for years upon years upon years. Something needs to change where it can function like a real municipal government system.
Yeah, but that has to be a conversation coming from government, because then government can at that time extend it again.
Yeah.
If there's no plan leading up to that. While there may be Grand Bahamians who are equipped and ready, does the government see it like that in terms of their future plans for Grand Bahama?
Well said. And that is a conversation, again, who, if not before the 2054 expiry date of that, I would hope that governments see the need to break that agreement before the 2054. And I think any government that goes head on in looking at the breaking or the cancellation of this agreement would be in wise counsel preparing for the removal or looking at. And Dwight, your question was very valid, but at that point we didn't take the time to stop, look, study, and to be able to really analyze whether we were as a people prepared to be able to execute the removal of the Port Authority. And yes, if you are elected to sit in the chairman position or the president position, I think you would be either one determined to want to go ahead and work and try to perform and get something done. Or again, you'd be just like governments over the past 27 years, replace, right, change, brought in, brought out for because you've not performed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have to continue to have these conversations. But gentlemen, thank you so much. It's been great talking with you. Darren Cooper, Daquan Swain, and Frederick McElpine. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
And do I keep up the good work, you and Pamela, every Monday and all of your other guests throughout the week?
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hopefully we'll talk again soon. Thanks again. And Pam, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dwight. Have a blessed week, Bahamas.
I'll see you next week. And I'll be back tomorrow morning with more Morning Blend right here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Morning Blend and Morning Blend Business. Stay tuned for On the Clock with Aaron Green coming up next.